This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
You can do what you want as long as you keep to yourself. You can be who you are as long as it's somewhere else. If a sign says life, you must do what's expected. After all, it's our way of life to protect. So we follow the obvious, blind leading the blind. And no one cares until you color outside the lines. It's a paint-by-number, predictable situation. A black-and-white world with technicolor implications. Move to the rhythm of a different drone. One steps out and they all come undone. You try to ignore things that they can't define. And no one cares until you color outside the lines. When it's not picture perfect and you dare to be different, that's when they open their eyes. Well, they'll try to deny it, then try to hide it by covering up what they find. The only time they look your way is when you mess with their precious. And no one cares until you color outside the lines. It's not about how you look, it's just your appearance. No, it's not about what you say, it's just how they hear it. Speak out of turn, they put a mark on the page. Say too much, you'll be feeling their rage. You must conform to what they all decide. Cause no one cares until you color outside the lines. When it's not picture perfect and you dare to be different, that's when they open their eyes. Well, they'll try to deny it, then try to hide it by covering up what they find. Time they look your way is when you mess with their precious design. And no one cares until you color outside the lines. Cause they don't like your crayon shades or the pictures that you choose. You're not doing it right. There's no one who cares until you color outside.
lines. No one cares until you color outside the lines. You see, God smiles when you color outside the lines.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Houston, Galveston, and the world. This is the August 23rd edition of After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the other one. Well, Chris, welcome back from your hyenas.
I'm planning another one next month,
Well,
too.
Your anus was in Dallas, wasn't it? That's high enough.
That's about the most it got.
So. Well.
I love it when a sure thing, you know, I talked about that once before.
Yeah.
I had a sure thing that went in with low expectations. Well, now I had a sure thing that went in with high expectations.
Oh, even worse, huh?
Cock blocked by my dad.
Ooh. Ouch.
Yeah. Realize, the phone plan we all share no longer took text messaging.
Ouch.
And for some reason, the person wanted to use their fingers on their phone and not me. And but the fun part was, 11 o'clock in the morning when all of a sudden the door of the hotel room burst open.
Yes.
And I'm like, what the hell? And I look up and all I could see was kind of a teenage guy with a red shirt. And I'm like,
oh, my prayers have been answered.
He ran too fast. So apparently he didn't like what he saw, but it was housekeeping.
They have an early checkout, huh?
No, I was just sleeping late. Way too much rum the night before.
Oh.
Too much rum and too much fried food.
I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah. And they had cute housekeeping there.
Yeah.
The one boy was... They were both Indian, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
The one was so skinny, he was wearing girls' pants.
What?
Kind of like how Mark does, where's that the skinny enough size where it looks like it's the girl's pants. He quickly cleaned the room because apparently he realized that I was wanting something for breakfast besides where we were going.
I see.
It's scared the poor child.
Oh, well.
It was a nice time, but they've strangely enough invited us back.
You were up there for what?
Just their pool party.
Who's they?
The Dallas Big Men's Club.
Ah, okay.
So we went up to see our brethren club, our older brothers, and just had a fun time, mm-hmm. You know, a private pool party in someone's house, and they put on a hell of a spread, and it was just something for us to do to get out of town for a little bit.
Nice.
So we may go for their last splash and mm-hmm. see if we can find some way to confiscate that video of the water ballet we did. Be afraid, guys. We practice water ballet.
Oh, my God. We're talking about Big Man.
We're thinking Louis skit.
Uh-huh. What?
So we're going to flood riches.
I'm sure it's been done before. Yeah, you know.
Or at least if we can put plexiglass around the go-go cages.
Ooh.
Stop, please.
Maybe we just get a big aquarium on the stage.
Oh, yeah.
Why not? Last year you were a nun in a go-go cage.
Houston Big Men's Club presents Shamu and the Texas Tuxedos.
Wasn't there a Cirque du Soleil show that did that too?
You know, at the rate I'm going, there's going to be a recall election for me. It's going to be a race to see which board I get thrown off of first, wow. Louis or the Big Men's Group.
Wow. Well, tonight, folks, we've got a double treat. We've got, for our After Hours Quickie, we've got the Misfits Houston here. And
a misfit in her own right.
Yes.
You better believe it.
Judy Reeves from GCAM, Gulf Coast Archive and Museum of GLBT History, Inc. And hopefully after that, we have the transgenders. But, you know, it's one of those months. It's got 5 Saturdays.
Oh, so they have an excuse. Oh.
Well, the folks that do the 4th Saturday sometimes get to think of it as the last Saturday of the month, and so when there are 5 Saturdays, they right, Judy?
I'm not going to comment, but I do know that they're busy at their beautiful pageant tonight, so they may be running a tad late.
What pageant?
The transgenders are having their pageant tonight.
Who knew?
I did. Who else needed to know?
A radio station might like to know these things.
Well, then you'll have to take that up with your regular 4th Saturday guest.
Okay. Well, let's talk about some of the things going on in the community. Today is Galveston Island Pride going on.
Who knew?
Yeah.
Actually, it's not. It's not. It's next month.
You tried 2 months of it. It's an October event.
I didn't get that midnight coffee before we left, did you, Jimmy?
Jimmy, let me see that.
Don't look at it.
I do believe you're 2 months
off. Yeah, I'm 2 months. It's October.
Yeah, and when you're turning to Chris for calendar assistance, you are in deep trouble.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Oh, boy. Well, don't go to Galveston. Go to George instead. At least from 5 to 8, and Sundance Cattle Company will be there, and they're going to feed you. Once again, it's barbecue sandwiches with all the fixings for $3, and the beneficiary is PWALVL Campouts, a group that's near and dear to my heart. That campout actually is coming up next month, so be warned.
I already asked you because I knew it was coming up.
Yes. Because I won't be here.
The weekend of the 21st.
Yes, it will be. The weekend, 19th, 20th, and 21st. I will not be here. Will not be here.
In body, not just mind.
That's right. Later on that tonight, amble over to the BRB for a show called I'm Still Here, hosted by MJ Summers. That's a benefit for AFH Camp Hope. And that's celebrating MJ's 30 years doing drag. I must say, the old girl looks pretty good. She must have started when she was about 5. That's going on at 7 to 9, BRB, Sunday night. Hi.
How are you?
Hi, Merlin. Merlin's here.
Hi.
Have you filled out those forms?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
If I missed anything, you can fill out the rest.
I'll do it. Okay.
Those of us without visuals are wondering now.
Merlin just filled out the application to go to the camp out, the PWA camp out.
Next the one where their confidentiality is guaranteed if you're going to these events?
Merlin and I have talked about being, you know, HIV positive on the show for years.
Yeah, but you've dragged your attempt to drag him against his will to this event.
I don't think it's against his will. No, he's been wanting to go.
I was sick the last time. I wanted to go the last time.
Yeah.
Yeah, conveniently got sick. He's ready.
Yeah. I do not talk about anybody else who goes up there because that's their business, and if they want to talk about it, that's fine. So, don't forget every Wednesday night, Tony's Corner Divas perform at Tony's Corner Pocket, featuring Lillian Devereaux, Anne Marie Gill, Selena St. John, Marsha Mink Gill, and now Jessica Van Shelton has joined the cast. That's Wednesdays at 9 p.m. sharp. You got some stuff over there from Arisa's, don't you?
Nah, I trashed it.
I hope not, because tonight is a special show for the Emperor. It's his birthday show tonight.
Well, actually, it was already tonight.
Oh, it was Saturday?
It was tonight as in tonight, as in Saturday.
As in Saturday night.
It was a fine event, let me tell you.
Was it?
Well, yes, it is. But actually, tonight, Sunday night.
Sunday.
Yes, we actually have a show over there. That it is the third in a series of what we call production shows.
Ah.
All the numbers in the shows on the show is a duet, a trio, or a group number.
Two or more people. Okay.
And it's a lot of fun. It is a little bit different kind of show. They're very entertaining. We'll be over at Tony's tonight at 7 p.m. with Production Volume 3.
Well, you know, your dollar bills go really fast in those kind of shows.
Yeah.
When you got two, three, or four people up there at tip.
And it has a great host.
Who's the great host?
Me.
Scott Kenyon.
They must never read their emails.
I guess not.
No, he's got a whole sheaf of paper there.
A sheaf of paper.
Shh, don't talk about much paper around the station. We're down to one paper towel.
Oh.
You keep mentioning all the paper we've got in here, and God knows what they'll do in the bathroom.
Yeah, I know. There's a list now.
Yeah, the Arisa's show list. Yeah, and then down here's where
that is so cool. That really helps us out.
Yeah, only if we read it and understand what we're saying.
Oh, come on!
The first annual King of Kings contest. The final contest is next Saturday, August 30th. Showtime starting at 11.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm scared. There's a wet T-shirt contest.
Yeah,
there is.
And Melissa Flores is part of it.
No, yep. she's actually one of the hosts.
Yes.
Along with Chris Volk.
Mm-hmm. Sushi?
It's on Saturday?
Saturday, August 30th?
Yeah, I believe the final. This will be the finals.
The finals?
This is the fourth in the series.
The preliminaries have been on Friday.
Yeah. So we've had three weekly winners, mm-hmm. and now they're all going to vie for the King of Kings. And I got to tell you, there's some pretty amazing talent over there.
Really?
I've wasn't able to go to one of them, but I've been to the last two, and I've been very impressed with the talent of the ladies over at Chances. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of fun. We've had a great time working with Chances on that event, and they're really terrific crowds over there. They're just great energy.
We got to almost go to one, and
shut up.
But Judy couldn't stick her arm out to change the turn signal.
That was before that surgery.
Yeah. So, it was her foot was bothering her. We had to leave. But the
That's
good
strange.
Crowd.
You should think of a different pain there when you talk about Judy.
How? It was a great crowd over there. I mean, lots of folks.
I'm on drugs, Chris. Leave me alone.
I've been impressed. And
well, damn it, Cher.
Not only is it just a really great energy, but, you know, their staff over there is just really great to work with, and they're a lot of fun. We've had a good time working with Chances.
Well, it's kind of fun, you know, when you're shoulder to shoulder with everybody and you can't, there's no way to sit down, but who needs to? You just kind of lean on the person next to you because there are so many of them there.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing that surprised me about Chances, I guess I haven't been over there too much in recent months.
But, gee, I wonder why.
You know, there's a lot of cute boys in that bar.
What?
Yeah.
It surprised me.
Well, you know, my upstairs neighbor is a straight boy. And his best friend in the world is a lesbian. So he hangs out there all the time.
He just wants to watch. It's like my brother.
No. He just goes there to dance and have fun.
Well, they definitely have fun over there.
Yeah.
They got some great raffle prizes next week, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're like actually selling tickets online, or you can get them there, I believe.
Yeah.
He's rifling through his papers.
Major gift raffle is a Wii game system.
Yeah.
Custom made leather vest and a liquor gift basket.
Yeah.
And it's LIQUOR.
Oh,
that's the type of liquor.
Liquor.
Not liquor.
Oh, okay.
And then Jack Daniels, yes.
Right. Yeah, that kind.
Oh. That's an entirely
Yeah, that's kind. Jack Daniels, not Jane Daniels.
Hey, moving right along.
Imperial Prince. XXIV Falcon presents When Pigs Fly Show and Piggy Bank Auction on Friday, August 29th, over at George Bar, starting at 8:30.
Thank you for reminding me. I have to decorate that damn
thing.
Tell me
my way to decorate this pig.
And I didn't see she put it that way, and I had.
Well, you did have to get her dressed tonight, so.
Oh,
you promised not to tell.
So wait, she's been at your house for what, a week now? I mean,
oh,
she
this
couldn't
time.
Have helped with this pig project.
Hey, I only have one wing here. No, he hasn't even shown me the pig. I just know he got it.
He hasn't taken out of the.
I keep that pig in my bedroom.
And I don't go in his bedroom, trust me.
You might want to explain this concept a little bit.
Pig project. Yeah.
The pigs are.
It's a little piggy
little
bank.
Piggy banks that have been taken by various organizations in the community who are decorating them. And at the. They're coming up with various concepts to talk about who they are or whatever. And. The decorated pigs will be brought back to the event and auctioned off, and with all the proceeds going to the Reese's Charities, which are Legacy Community Health Services and Assisters.
And I'd be willing to bet $5 right now that there is some amount of pink on Jimmy's pig
when it's finished.
Imagine
it's already pink.
No, hot Jimmy pink.
It's magenta. birthday blood extravaganza, Count Royce Wood cordially invites one and all to come to help celebrate his 36th birthday at Tony's Corner Pocket on 7 o'clock at August 31st. Hosted by Count Royce Wood and Rania Natasha Nicole. Imperial Prince Royale 24 and Imperial Princess Royale 24, Susan Hayes and Marcia Mint Gill present IPR, UPR, We All PR. People make fun of my jokes. On Saturday, August 30th at 8:30 at Tony's Corner Pocket, 817 West Dallas.
I'm just glad they're PRs. Only Jimmy.
That's moving on into September, so we'll move on those. All those events are for the Empire, the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star, Inc., Houston, Galveston, North America. How much further are we going along with that?
That's about it.
501c3 organization, and all benefits are for Legacy Community Health Services and Assisters.
Yeah. Okay, at ICOH we've got the Wednesday. Oh, we've got the Wednesday midweek madness going on at EJ's. At they say 7:30. Yeah. Uh huh.
7:30 what?
Please, you know, more like 9:30. That goes on.
Okay.
Until the dick dancers wave him off the stage.
Something like that. That show now is hosted by Regina Dane. Yeah. Imagine that. So, she has to go to the Midweek Madness show now because, you know, she's...
No, she doesn't.
Yeah, well... She's chair of the board. Plus,
she's been chair of the board.
She hosts the show right after it, so it looks kind of tacky if she just walks in 5 minutes before her show, you know. So, you'll get to see Regina Dane most nights, and a lot of.
And that's the court that he's a part of.
Yeah.
Imagine what he says about the other ones.
What? Regina and I talked about that. Okay. Houston Pride Band press release. They've got, save this date, and I'm just going to tell you real quick, October the 18th. The fall concert explores music from Europe, Africa, and Asia with a special stop in Las Vegas to be held at Resurrection MCC, Houston Pride Band. And at the end of this month, next Saturday, as a matter of fact, August the 30th is the Gayborhood Garage Sale, being held at EJ's from noon until 6. Now, that's, you know, if you're going to have a yard sale, garage sale, and you're in the Montrose, that's the time to have it, noon. Because people don't get up early.
Yeah, they're also doing it indoors, you know. You do it,
well, yeah.
You do it early in the morning, so it's not 100 degrees yet.
Or you wait until it's a civilized time to get up, and then you do it indoors. Like they're doing here at DJ's. Perfect. Next Saturday.
No, you just get drunk and you'll spend extra money for that stuff.
Well, and what's wrong with that? What is wrong with that? Then the next night, next Sunday, it's time for the debris debacle in memory of DePila Debris. It's Debris Debacle 5. And this is happening, where is it? EJ's, 5-ish. Well, it's a Sunday show, you know, you got to do it a little bit early. And it's benefiting the PWA campout. And there will be 50-50 raffle and good eats provided by Cajun Montana? I don't know, I can't read that. A.K.A. Garbagia Debris. You see if you can read that.
Cajun Mama.
That's a mama?
Yeah.
You're kidding me.
No.
Well.
Tell Stanley to take you back to Walmart and get that prescription changed.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow. Okay. And that should... Oh, I do want to put in a quick plug for the Cult 45's Fall Harvest coming up. November the 16th. November the 16th, put it on your calendar now so that, you know, you go to this and not anything else. Because it's benefiting Cult 45s, and Southern Country's a part of that, too. That's at the BRB at 7 p.m.
But it's not benefiting them.
No, they're it's not benefiting. It. They're hosting it. It's benefiting Resurrection MCC Food Pantry. They'll be collecting food and toiletries. Wow.
And cool. They're doing that starting sometime in October.
The 26th.
They'll start collecting those and then the big show to raise funds for it.
Will they come to my house to collect them?
I'll be
Do you
there.
Think? Oh.
You'll always be there.
I take all this fun away.
Gosh. It's like being married.
Ew, been there, done that.
Lots of
t-shirts,
use it for a ride. Hated it. Okay. There's one more thing I want to bring up, and it's very early, too. But it's a special project, and actually, I want you to read it.
Oh. I have to say, of course he throws me something I hadn't heard anything about before, but the Illuminations Project. There's a MySpace forum created for it. You go to myspace.com/illuminationsproject. The site was created as a way to communicate to everyone what is happening on the show coming up on December 6th at the Hobby Center. The show is designed to bring awareness to AIDS and is scheduled to close the World AIDS Day as possible. As close to the World AIDS Day as possible. We're looking for professional entertainers for this show, so if you or a group that would like to perform at the Hobby Center, please contact Falcon. The show will also have the Illuminations Award given to those people or groups leading the battle to fight AIDS. If you know someone you wish to nominate, you can email at illuminationsproject@yahoo.com. For more information, you can contact Falcon at 832-428-4009. Call him now.
He's probably up. He's in Fort Worth right now.
Ah. What's he doing there?
Fort Worth Investitures.
Oh.
But, like I said, you can go to their MySpace at myspace.com/illuminationsproject for more information.
Okay. Who do we do first?
I don't even want to be a part of that. We can have anyone else in the room, okay?
We have Deacon and we have the Misfits, and I just...
Well, we're kind of intermingled.
It would be great,
yeah,
because you're kind of related tonight.
Well, hi, Scott. I'm just related to everyone now, aren't I?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you get around, so...
We'll just call you Cousin Judy.
Cousin Judy. Okay.
Let's talk about the Misfits.
I wanted to do G-Cam first and get it out of the way, and then we can talk about Misfits all we want. Because we only have two things on G-Cam.
Oh,
and
Jimmy's
going to tell us about the logo contest.
And just so everyone knows, we do have another... We do have a segment.
We do have... Yes, I know. I see him.
You're the chair.
Okay.
Just remind him.
They hear enough in my voice.
It's 1:30, and he tells me we have a segment that they're waiting. Hello. May I hit him on the way out?
Okay.
Okay.
Promise?
G-Cam is...
Promise?
Going into... No, honey, you'd enjoy it too much. G-Cam has a logo contest going on. We're going into our 10th year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a real simple contest. It needs to be a simple design that goes from pen size to poster size with ease. It's got to produce and or reproduce in color and in black and white, et cetera, et cetera. We'll accept just about any digital formats. I understand that my little protege can do anything in the world on a computer, so it really doesn't matter. But we prefer JPEG, TIFF, PDF, Adobe Illustrator, or PowerPoint. We'll also take paper, artboard, canvas, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. They can submit these to me at chair@gcam.org, or if they want to deliver something in person. You don't have to be computer literate to get into one of these contests. That's what I keep trying to tell people. They can call me at 832-722-5785, preferably afternoon. To make arrangements for drop-off.
Yeah, wait about 15 minutes before you start calling her. Because she's going to be on the mic until then.
You're so kind.
Okay.
The new logo is going to be... we're running the contest through August 31st.
Mm-hmm.
The new logo will be unveiled at our show on September 21st, the second annual Earthquakes Closet Show.
Yes.
It's going to be on EJ's patio at 4 o'clock. We have... our MCs are lined up. We're having Kimberly and Melissa Flores.
Kimberly O'Neill. Wow.
Yeah, royalty and everything.
Wow.
Very exciting. So Kimberly and Melissa are going to be our MCs for that show.
Wow.
We'll be unveiling the logo, and we'll have some of the closet stuff there to show off a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be introducing another little minor surprise. I don't want to say minor, but a lesser surprise than a logo.
Mm-hmm.
So
I had a guy come up to me last night at the Rip and ask about the logo contest.
Oh, yeah.
You're a really cute guy. And so,
well, he can be ugly and submit if he wants to.
Actually, as I recall, he didn't come up to you. He sent me running around the bar for 20 minutes looking for you.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Yeah. Remember me snatching you by the collar and dragging you over to...
I thought only I did that. Oops. Okay, well, thank you, Scott.
Jimmy was lost.
Jimmy, yeah, okay. Jimmy stays lost, but that's okay.
I had a good time.
G-Cam's very busy.
Yes.
On September 2nd, G-Cam is partnering with the Gay and Lesbian Rainbow Pages and ICOH for a Comets basketball fundraiser. The game is against the New York Liberty. It's going to be at 7:30. The doors open at 6:30. And we have special seating. We have the more expensive tickets, but we can get them for $20 a piece.
Mm-hmm.
And we split that in half with the Comets, and then ICOH and GCAM will split the other half of it. We also have $40 tickets for VIP tickets, which kind of get you upstairs in the good parts and all that sort
of
stuff. And yeah. And then there's going to be a VIP party that evening after the game over at Meteor, where we'll be honoring Christina Martinez.
Mm-hmm.
So... To get tickets for that, they can call me again at the 832-722-5785 number, and I can put you in touch with Rocky Henserling, or you can call him at...
Rocky?
Rocky, yes.
Okay.
He didn't... Oh, there he is. At 832-362-0161. You can also fax in your ticket order at 713-739-7709.
Can you go online and get them anywhere?
You can go online and get Comets tickets for that game that night, but we won't get credit for it. You need to go through Rocky to do
okay.
this.
Okay.
They were going to put it online. It got all mixed up in the Comets office, and it never did go online. But that's okay. They take American Express, Visa, MasterCard, Discover, check, cash if you're there in person. They're not hard. They'll take money.
Okay.
They're easy to get along with.
Okay.
All right.
I was out last night, and I saw a bunch of guys all running around with the same kind of shirt on.
Yeah?
Yeah.
They having a party soon?
They were promoting something.
Ooh, I love promotion.
Was it a blue T-shirt that you saw?
It certainly was. It certainly was.
What did it say? What did it say?
I love blue.
Well. Yeah, we know. And here you are in pink, James.
Yeah, we basically just wanted to match the cast on your arm with our T-shirt.
Yes.
I'll still be wearing it for the party, so that's okay.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a bunch of misfits here tonight.
Misfits are in the house.
How many do we have?
We have four misfits here.
I see three gathered around and one kind of in the corner there.
He's observing.
Providing moral support.
He's our chaperone.
Jimmy's always complained misfit by injection, I think.
Wow.
The room goes silent.
Wow.
Jimmy can't hear you.
Wow.
So what are the misfits doing? What are they running around wearing these T-shirts?
Misfits are getting ready for their annual fundraiser called the Misfits Ball. Coming up on September the 7th. That is a Sunday from 5 p.m. until 9 p.m. It is happening at a place called the Pink Monkey at 709 Franklin downtown.
That's the old rehab, right?
That is the old rehab. Also, for some of us that were in Houston for a lot earlier than that, a place called the Power Tool.
Power Tools. That was the first ball I went to at Power Tool.
Mm. Exciting times.
Anywhere near that fancy place.
It's right next
right
to
underneath
the...
it.
That's where I went to my Misfits Ball.
Yeah, actually, you both have been to Misfits Ball down there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I have to get my bearings.
Several years ago, we made a presentation to GCAM, and you came down and joined us.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that was on...
We broke the door or something.
Yeah, we worked for a while.
You came in because we presented you with... one of our police uniform type shirts that had belonged to one of our founding members, Cress Robinson.
Yes.
Which is now in the Gulf Coast Archives and Museum.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Loves being there.
And the last time I was at the archive, I saw it.
Yes, you did.
So I do know you were there because I remember.
Well, I wanted to be sure it was the same location before
making
I
that presentation.
My mouth.
Yeah, yeah, so that's where it was.
Yay.
It had a different name then, but it's the same place.
Okay. The girls still got it.
And it's fun. It's fun down there.
It's a great...
It's like a dungeon.
It's a great space.
Yeah, it really is a great space. Yeah. A fun area.
You don't realize the sun's still up upstairs when you're down in that little dark hole. It's like, okay.
Sure, yeah.
You clearly didn't find the patio then.
No.
The patio that overlooks the bayou. It's great.
Okay.
Well, this year our beneficiaries are Lazarus House and GCAM.
And I want to thank
and
you
I
for
both.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're really excited. It's going to be a great party. We're expecting a lot of folks to come out for it. So it should be a good time.
Yeah. We've got a lot of fun stuff going on at the party. We're going to have a silent auction.
Mm-hmm.
Got some great stuff, including a pair of Southwest Airline tickets.
Ooh.
Anywhere you want to go, Southwest flies.
Yeah, get well. We can go someplace.
That's right.
Will they still have planes then?
Oh, shut up.
They may.
A lot of other great stuff. We've also got some other things going on. We've got our popular lockdown.
Oh.
With new rules.
Which we've changed up a little bit. And I think Woodja could probably explain that better than I can.
Yes.
Okay, we're listening.
Well, the new way it works is that you can no longer raise bail to stay out of jail. You can put a warrant out on somebody, and they automatically have to go to jail for 20 minutes and find a way to entertain themselves while they're in jail. And if you see someone that you'd like to get to know, but are a little shy, you get yourself arrested with that person, and then you have a captive audience inside the jail with that person for 20 minutes. And, you know, see what happens.
So you won't need toys.
Hopefully you...
Unless you're volunteering to watch the silent auction. Don't get arrested, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. You get your... Your toy is the person you get arrested with you.
Uh-huh.
And then...
Yeah.
Enjoy your thing. Just give me the car keys before you go.
Wow.
Okay, then. But if you don't want to get arrested, you can buy a get-out-of-jail-free card before... You get arrested, and that will protect you for the evening.
You better have it on your...
When the cops come for you, when the dungeon masters come for you, have it on you.
Yeah, and how much are these little lovelies for the evening?
Those are $25. It's like an insurance policy.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
I have to hit my ex up this
week. How much to get into this bowl?
It's only $15. And one thing I was going to point out is that the Misfits underwrite all the expenses for our ball every year. So every dollar that we bring in for the door, side of the auction, any of our fundraising at the ball, every cent of that does go to our beneficiaries.
Fabulous.
So,
how do you guys do that?
We work hard.
Hey, look around the room. You know, all the beautiful people.
Well, a lot of people see us out at the Ripcord every third Saturday of the month.
Right.
Work in the doghouse.
We bartend out at the back patio at the beer bar. And that's how we raise our seed money, mostly, for the ball.
Oh.
So we...
Raise money.
I've been to these balls before, and I'm thinking, boy, you know, this is a uptown
event.
It must take, 40, 50 guys to put this thing together. And I go to your website.
Or six.
we're all of six powerful powerhouses.
Got to be. I don't know how you guys do that.
We've stopped sleeping.
I can comprehend that completely.
Wow.
But now one thing that we haven't mentioned is that this is the 10th anniversary of the Misfits Ball. And we decided that... we've had themes in previous years that have included stuff like
SWAT.
A locker room, SWAT, fireman theme. This year we decided, let's just go back to basics. Let's go back to the dungeon and have a dungeon party. So it is dungeon, it's leather, it's just fabulous.
We'll have bootblacks on hand, and we'll have some... Dom's doing some demonstrations, so come out and learn a little bit. Experiment.
We've also got the wonderful Mark D of Riches is going to come out and
XM Radio.
XM Radio DJ. That's going to be DJing for us, and he's got great music.
Yeah.
So it's definitely going to be
good music, auction items.
Chance for you to go to jail again? I mean, oops, did I say that? I'm trying to be helpful.
Judy, if you'd like, we can do warrants in advance if you want to go ahead and get him locked up now.
Demonstration.
We can. In fact, I have I have a warrant with a blank name.
Wait a minute.
That we would be happy to put on file for that.
You like making friends, don't you, Jimmy?
always.
Hey, I'm a good guy.
Mm-hmm. We need some action and excitement going on in that jail cell.
And you think I can provide that?
Huh? Sure.
Please, I've heard those stories. Never mind.
Wow.
So, we'll have to talk. You think for 20 years I haven't listened? Okay, never mind.
Come on, the woman's been living on your couch how long now? She's got to pick up some dirt.
What gets said in therapy stays in therapy.
Wow, just like Las Vegas.
Okay.
You know, we had that same mantra for the Misfits Ball. What happens at the Misfits Ball stays...
And it doesn't count.
It stays on my camera.
Or the website.
Or on my website.
Okay, I will be getting addresses as they leave.
Oh, you and Dalton.
Now, Dalton doesn't put the good stuff up. He gives it to G-Cam.
He keeps it for himself.
No, we've got a lot of that. You'd be surprised. See, I have to keep that buried away in G-Cam. It's like, I know where the keys to this area are, and nobody else gets near that.
And there are things that can't be opened up until 2050. And
Right. In the time capsule.
Yeah. And we actually have one. 2026, the time capsule will be open. And
I'm going
to
be here to do it.
Well, if there's going to be bootblacks there, I guess it would be really bad form for me to bring a half a dozen leather vests and try to talk them into... No. Never mind. No.
Just bring your boots.
Well, yeah, that's bring a bootblack, not,
not a vest black.
I was going to give it a shot.
Not a leather tailor, bootblack.
Okay. I'll have to find some.
Hey, we tried. Hey. Yeah.
There's some great stuff at G-Cam. Mm-hmm. Part of it, do we need to bring Crest stuff back for a reprisal on that day? No.
Oh, it's going to be pretty crazy down there. Pretty
sad. We don't put
it.
Our stuff in crazy places.
Okay. We don't want anything getting on them.
But just know that it is so low.
Ruined. Ruined.
No, we're expecting a great crowd, big crowd. So
we're very excited about our beneficiaries this year. The Lazarus House, of course, is a wonderful organization. They help a lot of our friends in the community who.
For me, for one.
Jimmy Carver, for one. Yeah, exactly.
When I first started there, I weighed 119 pounds.
And look at him now.
140.
140.
I honestly say that Jimmy would not be around today if not for Lazarus.
Absolutely.
His last illness.
I'm constantly amazed at what Danielle and her group over there are able to do with very limited means, and it's an amazing organization helping out a lot of our friends in the community who are dealing with the wasting syndrome of AIDS, and you know, keeping the muscle mass on and keeping you healthy.
Have you ever had the experience of Danielle as a trainer?
I think it'd be scary.
Holy crap.
I know you have worked out when that gal gets a hold of you. Oh, my God.
That's good. That's really good.
And, of course, we're also excited to be able to help GCAM a little bit this year. The Gulf Coast Archives Museum do an amazing job of, and a very underappreciated job of keeping track of our history. And, you know, our community has seen so much history happen in the last 40 years that it all can disappear very quickly if somebody isn't keeping track of it. And it's another very small, dedicated group of people who are working their tails off to make something happen.
And
right.
Six of us, too.
Yes. That's right.
Both of these organizations, I think, are very important to our community, and we're really excited to be supporting them this year with the Misfits Ball.
And we thank you very much for even thinking of us.
And you personally have been a strong supporter of GCAM for quite a few years now.
Have I?
Yes, you have.
We rarely have a show. I call Scott and I'm like, I've got this vest here, and I don't have any idea who it belongs to. Can you find out for me who it belongs to? Or what this pin is for? Yeah.
Or,
you do a lot of identification
just out
for
of the blue, we get this check.
Yeah, that happens on occasion, too. So.
Well, we definitely appreciate all that GCAM does. It's something that if you weren't doing, would be completely lost.
Do we have a lot of stuff.
Well, and it's important to preserve that history and to be able to tell the story, everyone's stories.
And now that we're getting Dalton's pictures,
mm-hmm. That's incredible.
That's going to be huge. Yeah.
People are like, how fragile our history is, and this, and you never know until the first flood hits.
Yeah.
When that first flood hit us the very first year, blam. You know, we didn't lose anything that we
couldn't replace.
Well, we didn't have to replace things. We had boxes of things that had multiple copies in them and stuff. So we didn't lose anything, but it was frightening to see the piles outside after the flood waters receded. Well, mm-hmm. We're very aware of keeping that history safe.
And I think we're all looking forward to the day when you have a home and you have a place to have it on display that we can actually
wait to invite
go in
and
spend more time with the things you have, because you've got some real treasures there, I know.
We do. So thank you very much again for thinking of us.
Yeah.
Well, and speaking of creating history, I did want to put another plug in for that same weekend is the first contest for Mr. Leather Houston.
Is it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It is happening on Friday and Saturday at the Ripcord.
Friday night
is a
meet and greet with the contestants.
Meet and greet with the contestants.
And then Saturday night is the contest itself.
Now, what is this again?
It's a contest for Mr. Leather Houston.
Okay, the first Mr. Leather Houston.
What are the qualifications? You have to be a man?
You have to be in leather?
And
right, you actually have to wear your own leather. Your own leather to compete.
Okay.
And I want to see if I can remember what the categories are. There's speech, question and answer,
formal wear,
jock wear, one of them, and then play wear.
I think so.
And I understand this is it's actually a preliminary for International Mr. Leather.
It's going to feed into Mr. Texas Leather.
So
which feeds into
IMO. This is actually really exciting news because we haven't had a feeder contest in
years.
Houston for it's been at least 4 years.
Wow.
So
at least
Blackhawk Leather,
okay.
Daddy Bob.
Okay.
So it's going to be a fun filled weekend.
I was just over there the other day and bought a whole bunch of music, and I went in for one little thing and came out with a bag.
Yeah, I tend to do that when I go to Blackhawk. Always.
This is really exciting, and Daddy Bob's put a lot of effort into this, and he's also a big supporter of the Misfits, and
right. We
really appreciate all that he does for our community as well.
Well, not only that, but every time there's a leather event, there's always something donated.
Always.
It's not only leather events.
Yeah.
They're actually one of the sponsors of the Quartz King of Kings pageant.
Really?
Yep.
That's right.
We read that.
Best.
Yeah.
So, he's really out there, and he helps out any way he can.
And they're located right behind the Ripcord, right?
The main store is right behind the Ripcord there.
On Fairview.
Fairview and Crocker.
And if you want to do a little late night shopping, they also have a shop inside the Ripcord. Mm-hmm.
Good community asset.
He's an amazing guy.
Okay, we got to get out of here.
I know, they're going to be yelling at us.
We've got transgender people waiting in the wings, and they had a contest tonight. Or
pageant? Pageant. They don't call it a beauty pageant.
Okay.
Pageant.
Just the pageant.
Yes. Yeah.
Beauty's not involved.
Wow.
Wrapping it up.
On that note.
It's not a beauty pageant.
Okay.
Thank you for having us once again. Well, thank you guys for coming and talking
about
it. Well, thank you guys for having us. We really, really appreciate everything you guys do.
You bet.
For
you
us.
Bet.
And
we'll see you on
that of that ball
September
again.
7th.
Uh-huh. From 5 p.m. to 9 p.m.
I will be there.
Pink Monkey. That is 709 Franklin, down in downtown, right by the bayou.
Mm-hmm.
And you can buy tickets from any Misfit in advance. So look for us at the Ripcord and out and about,
or there,
or at the door.
You can also get those warrants in advance.
Keep that in mind, Judy.
Keep it in mind, Judy.
Yes.
We do take checks and credit cards.
Okay. Maybe I should get back to his apartment before I start moving. Thank you, guys. Well,
thanks again.
Chris?
Something that I never said. A story that I've never shared. I was only 20 years old. He was a love affair. Soon became a humble home. Wrecked with animosity. Took it to the bottle. And then turned around. And took it out on me, and I was just a boy, scrawny little boy, a naive, faggot little boy, too confused by love to leave, too abused by you to see that you were maniacal. And life has been so good to me. Taught me things about the soul. Pain is just an error in thought that I'm in.
fight for control. Glad I started long ago, learning the hardest way. Now I know my power, and that bullshit would never fly today. And I was just a boy, shelter little boy. I let you own that little boy. Might have been too young to see, but the fuss you made of me, 'cause you were reliable, certifiable. It's comical when I'm looking back. Out of me.
This is Tea Talk. We are back and better than ever.
I don't know about better than ever, but I'm back anyway.
Well, of course.
My mic even
ever.
On?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess my my monitor level is low or something. There we go.
I can hear you loud and clear.
Yes, I can hear myself. I don't know if I can hear myself think, but at least I can hear myself.
Well, no. I have to say you look fabulous in your Chinese outfit.
Yeah, I don't know. It kind of reminds me more of a Hawaiian shirt than a Chinese shirt, I think, because of the short sleeves. I always imagine like the kind of like the Bruce Lee ones with the, you know, the black with the big giant baggy sleeves.
And we're matching. I'm wearing black and white. Wearing black and white.
There we go. We're all color coordinated, and like
I'm not pulling out ebony and ivory for you two.
Oh yeah. Which, I mean, color coordination means a whole lot to a radio audience anyway, so.
Yeah. We're just getting back from the Miss Transgendered Houston pageant. And I remember last year, I was emceeing the pageant.
And I was at home because my motorcycle wouldn't start. So.
We came straight from the pageant. And, yes, as Mel said, her motorcycle was kaput. I'm trying to... not saying one of the bad words, but it was like
the battery was
crapped
dead out.
So, but this year was a really great pageant. I was lucky enough to be a judge, and
I was clearing the tables.
Mel was actually very nice to be bringing us Coca-Cola to the judges' table.
Yeah, with other various ingredients in it.
Yes, and she did a great job, and we loved that.
Yeah,
it helped make the judging jobs and. The judging a lot easier.
So I just gotta say, Melissa had a little bit of the captain in her tonight.
I have to step in right now, real quick.
Yes,
sure. And let you know, you're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. Now broadcasting in high-definition radio. You can check out kpft.org and find out what high definition radio means and what you can be listening to on channel 2 of us.
Fantastic. Got that in right on the dot.
On the dot. That was awesome.
And Melissa's calisthenics and, pantomime during the thing was really fantastic.
Hi. Hey. Come on in.
We have a third person joining us.
And soon to be a fourth and fifth person also. We actually have an issue. We're going to talk about transgendered health and dealing with the medical industry. I recently was in the hospital, and we have, I don't know, first of all, introduce yourself.
My name's Mitch.
Mitch. And what are you doing here this evening?
Well, I haven't been to the radio show for a while. This is my coming out party.
Hey!
All right, well, welcome out.
Welcome out!
So instead of Mel squared, now we have, I guess, M cubed.
Yeah, because Michael's part of, he's been added to it, and it's Mitch and Mel.
We got M to the fourth power now.
That's right. That could be like a rock band.
Fourth dimension of transgenderness or something.
Do you play an instrument, Mitch?
I have a bass, but I don't play very well.
Ooh.
I play the DVD.
I play the PS3 and the Wii.
Ooh. Oh. You're a Wii guy. I love that.
Guys are always playing with their Wii, though.
No comment. Moving on. Now that Mitch has introduced himself. And I don't know if he has anything to say about this, but I know that I just got through... coming out of the hospital, and it was rather interesting because, you know, anytime you go to the doctor and they see a lovely, vivacious girl there, and you have to inform them that you weren't always a lovely, vivacious girl. You can either go one of two ways. You can go down the crapper, and it can go really, really bad for you, or it can be a positive experience. And Michael actually is not here tonight because he... is in the hospital, and he was having some issues, and he had a surgery that's common to most female to male transgender guys, and he had a hysterectomy, and so we're going to be calling him here in a few minutes and talking to him live from the hospital. He's in Texas Women's, and he's going to be sharing some of his experiences as well. And I don't know, have you ever had any crazy hospital stories?
Last time I was in the hospital was like second grade when I had my tonsils out.
Oh my God. And so they wouldn't ask you when your last period was, because what they asked me. You know,
I don't know, if you're having periods in the second grade.
I lied the first time. And I was my girlfriend called me out on it. She's like, she looked at me and I'm she's too, like,
yeah, I'm just too mean to get sick.
Yeah. What about you, Mitch? Have you had any?
I avoid doctors.
Just like a guy.
Doctors, dentists, they're all the same.
I don't know. Like, my dad.
I don't know. If your dentist tells you to put your feet in the stirrups, though, something's wrong.
Yeah. I would definitely.
I think you
definitely
need,
get
you
suspicious,
though. You need to find a new dentist.
Yeah. Or you could be or at you the keep transgender them. Center. And it could be a volunteer dentist that's doing physical. Mm-hmm. Physical.
Well, there's some kind of commotion going on out there?
I hit the wrong button.
All right.
You ready?
Is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? Yeah.
No, I hit the drop button instead of the hold button.
Oh. Okay.
So,
and I'm
so.
Just laughing when he did. He's like,
oh, so we, what are
never a dull moment here at KPFT.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Michael, remember, are you there? That?
Yeah, Michael's here.
Oh, okay. Great.
I have to let you know this. You are on the air.
Well, thank you.
I have to make sure it's FCC crap, so.
How you doing, Michael?
Great. I have friends that came to visit. Colt's here with me, too.
Oh, fantastic. I seen Colt at the I keep saying banquet, the pageant.
Yeah. I was supposed to be the escort at the pageant, but I had to come here. I asked Colt who he thought had more fun.
And what was his answer?
He didn't answer. He just
I guess it was a close tie there.
Yeah, he just kept flirting with the nurse.
Oh. Well, he's been busy flirting a lot tonight from what I've seen.
Oh, yes. Well, yes. He's very handsome. I can understand that.
Yeah. I believe Colt was on the radio show. Have you been here before, Colt?
Colt, have you been on the radio show before?
Never.
He says never.
Okay. Well, we've got to change that.
Yeah.
We've got to get you down here. Tell him. We were telling the listeners a little bit about, I didn't really go into it, I just said that you had, you're in Texas Women's, and that you had undergone a surgery that a lot of F to M guys consider and go through. And
yes.
The hysterectomy. So why don't you fill us in?
Right. So, what do you want me to tell you about?
Well, just tell us a little bit about what you're going through, why you're in the hospital.
Okay.
You know, and whatever you feel comfortable sharing. And also, I wanted to ask you a little bit. I was talking about my experience, just briefly about the hospital and disclosing to them that I was transgendered. And mm-hmm. how that can either go, like, really bad or it can be a positive experience. And so if you have anything, I know I was reading on your webpage that you had some experiences with them and, you know, them thinking that your wife was there and didn't find out who
she
is.
Oh, yes.
So.
Yes, there are hundreds of good stories out of this experience.
So start with... you know, kind of what's going on with you, why you're there, and maybe the procedure, and then
I am
us.
In. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I am in Texas Women's Hospital because my OBGYN works out of this hospital, and I had a surgery because I have been ill since January with a lot of pain in my abdomen and difficult digesting food and bladder infections, kidney stones, so I kept going to the doctor again and again throughout that 6 months, and finally they did some CAT scans and ultrasounds and found out that I had what's called fibroids
and
in the uterus, so I needed to have a hysterectomy, and that is a common procedure that F2Ms go through. Some F2Ms just don't want to ever worry about having another menstrual cycle or have breakthrough bleeding, and some guys, excuse me, hey, Amber, quit, I can't hear. And the other reason that an FCM will get the hysterectomy is because it's quite common once you've changed your name and your gender marker to male, then insurance companies won't cover a female surgery, and that's one of the biases we work with as transgendered people.
Yes.
Is it particularly difficult in Texas?
I think is particularly difficult in Texas.
And Michael, this is Mitch. He is here. This is his coming out. He's in the studio. I guess he may have dropped by before, but he's joining us. So we are M to the power of four.
Oh, wow.
It's Michael and Mitch and Melanie and Melissa.
M to the fourth power.
Yeah, so he's representing.
Wow, it's great.
It's a new dimension of transgender tonight.
Oh, that is awesome. Awesome. Well, yes, Amber and I had a very interesting experience when we were pre-registering me for my surgery.
Yes, I read it on the website. Tell us about that.
Yeah, and it was very... What happened is that Amber came to support me, so we're going from department to department trying to get checked in. The nurses are interacting, but each time they see her, I think she's the one getting the surgery.
Uh-huh.
And I'm her husband supporting her. So we go to the next nurse, and they'd say, oh, you have this procedure, and they try to do the test. And they'd say, no, I'm the patient. And then they look confused and start to giggle and get nervous. And this went on and on about through five or six nurses in different departments. And apparently my doctor was kind of watching what was going on, and he didn't take well to that. So he came out and chastised all the nurses and said, you better get this done for this man. Is there a problem here? There better not be one. And like 2 minutes later, I had all my tests and everything had happened.
Well, that is awesome. And
yeah, but it's really interesting because I know they're not used to having men here in the hospital.
Well, you're not the first, actually. If you remember, what was it, about last year or so, Chris was down there.
Yes.
And he was kind of getting a little, you know, felt like he was getting the hairy eyeball from some people and everything. And he
really?
Was like, well, he goes, I don't know if they like trans people and everything down here. And I was like, dude, you're in there with like a beard and hairy chest in the women's hospital. You're going to get weird looks. I was like, you know, they don't, you know, get too many, you know, men patients down there.
Right. Right. So
you've been feeling like you've been getting the hairy eyeball a little bit down there?
How are they treating you?
Oh, they're treating me really well. Everybody has been fantastic and kind, and I think that the staff is fantastic. I have had nothing but positive experience.
Great.
Well, that is awesome. I know.
Yeah.
I was in the hospital, and you came to visit me, and I had disclosed my status. They, of course, go through your history and stuff, and I told them that I was transgendered, and they didn't seem to bat an eyelash, and that is contrary to what I had experienced previously, because before they were always like, oh my God, you're a transsexual, can we have the students come in and examine
get the
you?
Get out the tongs. On the radiation suit or something?
When I signed up my papers to come in the hospital, there was this box that I could check. Did I want interns and residents watching the procedure? And I told them no, and then I felt bad about it. I turned to Amber. I said, is that wrong for me not to want them to see me?
Well, I think that's a personal choice, you know, and they asked me when I was in Herman Memorial, they're like, can they go? And I was like, yeah, that's not a big deal. But I remember when I was younger, you know, they were doing, I went to an OBGYN to get hormones because I didn't know where to go. And she literally had me naked on a table, like examining my private parts with all of these medical students.
Oh my goodness.
And it traumatized me. I was like, oh my God, you know. She's like, okay, this is a transsexual patient, and she's been like this since she was 15, and you know, it was something that she wanted to expose her students to, but at the same time, you know, being transgender and being young and not really knowing that I could say no, I don't want these students in here, it freaked me out.
So you felt like the roast ham on the buffet table with everybody picking at you or something?
Yes, but I've since learned to be an advocate and to speak up and make sure that I'm able to say no.
And it doesn't take too long for the transformations, because Chris was here about a year ago, that they told me they've had five transgender guys up here.
Yeah.
And so just in a year, they've really gotten educated and are doing a great job of supporting transgender people.
Well, and actually, I know when I was in the hospital, because Vanity, she was the gal who put on the pageant, she was visiting me with Tyler, and actually Alexander, he has been on the radio show. He came from actually the night of the pageant last year, and he was actually going through his surgery, and they said that he was doing great and everything, and I wasn't able to go visit, but obviously I was in the hospital hold up, but I know.
Right, right. Amber and Cole are here. They'd like to say hello to all the listeners out there.
Well, I'm sure the listeners would say hi back if they had a magic phone. But.
How you guys doing? This is Colt.
Hi,
hey,
Colt.
Hello.
I always wanted to say hi to you guys on the show, so
oh,
hello.
Fantastic.
Well, this is KPFT, and all the listeners are listening. Do you want to say anything?
I am here witnessing Michael, and he looks really good in his cute little hospital gown at 2 o'clock in the morning. Oh, he's really sexy right now. So it's,
that was like one of the gayest things I've even heard on the show.
What? Oh, I'm sure you've heard gayer things.
I don't know. Jimmy will probably come back in here and top at that. He's really good at that.
Yeah, they're so bad. Here's Amber, and I hope you have a good night.
Well, you have to come by the radio show sometime, Colt, and talk to us. Colt is in graduate school, right?
Colt's in graduate school, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm in graduate school, yes.
You're in graduate school, so you have to come in and talk to us about your experiences being a transgender student. And
also, if I remember right, Colt was the recipient of the scholarship from, I forget the actual title of it, that they awarded at the Unity Banquet
two
years ago, yeah.
That would be the Peggy Rudd
scholarship,
which I was the recipient this year.
Yeah, yeah, Melissa.
And Colt was the recipient the previous year.
Congratulations, yes. Everyone.
Yes.
Thank
well,
you.
Are you in school?
Yeah, starting Monday. Again, it'll be my second year in my PhD program. So.
Well, that's awesome. That's right. So you're going to have to come in one of these months and like talk to us and tell us how things are going and when you're not studying.
Oh, goodness. But
when
that sounds
studying,
like a good idea. If you get me talking about all my psychology craziness and Zucker and Blanchard, I could talk on my soapbox for hours.
Well, that'll fill a show up.
That's okay. We have a couple hours to fill. So
awesome.
We will have you come in sometime. Thank you so much. Say
no
goodbye
problem.
To everybody. Put Amber on the phone.
All right. Goodbye.
All right.
Amber.
Thank you.
There she is.
Hello. Hi.
Hello.
Hello, Amber.
This is Amber. Say hello to all the listeners.
Hey, listeners. Thanks for hearing us.
And Amber is Michael's partner, wife. I don't know. What do you prefer?
Any. Either or. I've called Michael my partner, my husband, my lover, my sweetie.
It's open to interpretation.
Yeah. Yeah, you name it. It's good.
All of the above.
Mm-hmm.
And
for sure.
We're talking about transgendered issues and surrounding healthcare,
mm-hmm.
and being the significant other of a transgendered guy. Talk to us about your experience and tell us a little bit about what you've experienced with this.
It is really amazing to witness gender because it makes me feel like, I mean, it's such a loaded deal for people that it sometimes makes me feel like I know them really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
When I see their reaction to gender change about three times within like 2 minutes, and that's how it kind of goes at a women's hospital as a transgender man.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as Michael was telling you guys in the beginning, they thought that I was the patient, and it was really strange, like, the way that they saw that I'm in my 20s, that I'm young, that I have a husband. And so they automatically assumed when they saw hysterectomy, they were like, oh, my God, she's not going to be able to have babies. And so they treated me really, really delicately. And they looked all like they were so sad, like, oh, this was such an insult to my femininity. You know, so many things were going to go wrong in my life. Thank God that my husband would even stay with me, you know?
Yeah, poor porcelain doll.
Barren, yeah. It's such a like a buzzword to be barren. But, yeah, and so, and then they found out that it was him, and at first they were laughing nervously, like they thought it was a joke, like that I was making fun of him, and that must be an insult to his masculinity. But then they started to figure it out, and it like and it started to make them question their own femininity, which is really, really strange to see. So gosh, gender is probably like the most interesting subject to me, I think, because it's so like, I don't know, it's so like packed full of human emotion, and it's so powerful and so like explosive and volatile too. It's kind of neat. So yeah,
well, I know gender is powerful, and it evokes all different kinds of reactions from people, and I'm just glad to hear that they're taking good care of y'all, and that it's
a
great experience.
It is. It's so awesome the way that this whole thing's been handled, because you can tell at first whenever a new shift comes on, the ladies, I think they work from 7 a.m. until 7 p.m., and then from 7 p.m. till 7 a.m. in 12-hour shifts.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, Colt's going, wow, I agree. And they'll come in and they'll get assigned to Michael, and at first they won't know how to react, or there'll be some distance or their own discomfort, or they'll not know how to respond to him or what's appropriate in terms of, like, touching him or helping him, you know, out of bed and things.
Mm-hmm.
And almost like within the hour, all of them make a complete turnaround, because they're just astonished and charmed, really, by his wit and his humor, and they all flirt with him quite shamelessly, and it's very cute. And I really love to see that. It's very, very special. Mike's a really special guy.
That is awesome. Well, do you have anything else you guys want to say? I don't know.
Anything
else you want to say?
Yeah.
Is Michael?
I just wanted to thank T-Talk for giving me a call and supporting me in the hospital. And I'm really happy that Colt, my brother, is over here. And it's just wonderful to have such a strong transgender community here in Houston, and to have him to the fourth power.
That's right. Fantastic. Well, thank you for taking our phone call. And I know that it's not necessarily a great time to call you at this time in the morning.
Oh, yes, 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, perfect time to, you know, wake up somebody in the hospital.
Yes, it's perfect.
But I think that the listeners definitely benefit from hearing, you know, this. And maybe they didn't even know that we have to deal with these kinds of issues when we go to the hospital. But, you know, it's good to hear that things are turning around, and we're actually
It's very complicated, because even my doctor, I know I have the fibroids, the test showed, but he had to be careful or ask me about how he presents that, so that my insurance company doesn't discriminate against me being trans and not cover the hysterectomy even before the gender marker.
Yeah.
So it's really a delicate process, and my conclusion is to get really busy into advocacy with the representatives and legislators to educate people and get some bills put out there that regulate some law around this.
Yeah, that's one of the big problems that, you know, transgenders have with the, you know, medical procedures and stuff, is a lot of insurance policies, you know, medical insurance will specifically exclude any, you know, transgender things, and they have a wide latitude on what they consider to be related to being transgender.
Right.
And so a lot of times, you know, because the insurance companies are basically out to make money, and anywhere they can find to disqualify coverage, they usually will.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some of them, you know, a lot of policies specifically put in there clauses where if they can vaguely justify it having something to do with a transition from one sex to another, they'll find ways to deny the charge. And then you end up left out with either not being able to get a needed operation or having to, you know, try to find a way to pay out of your pocket for some, you know, even some that are life-saving operations where, you know, you need to have it or, you know.
Yeah, I was very frightened of that. Now, this is the kind of dilemma a transgender man can get in. You know, you're transitioning at work. You're supposed to get your name and gender changed by a certain time, like about August. And then you're having all these health issues come up. And then there was job instability come up all at the same time. So it was like, well, they go change my name and gender marker so I can get a job as myself and, you know, I don't have to deal with a female identity when I'm a man. Or, you know, do I wait and get my medical procedures? And then, you know, if I, you know, didn't have a job, you know, how would I go, you know, get one in that situation?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or gosh, if I don't get this done now when I have insurance, you know, I won't have insurance down the road if I lost my job. And that's kind of what I've been going through the last month, trying to sort out that complexity.
Well, it's definitely a complicated issue. And I know that your doctor sounds like he's on your side. And I know that with my doctors, they've always coded things so that it didn't come down to being difficult for me or having to do that. So yeah. Sounds like you're on the right track and your doctor's got your back.
My doctor is fantastic. I'm very, very pleased with my doctor.
So, well, we want to thank you for taking the time to talk to us, Michael.
Oh, thank you.
And I will see you tomorrow.
Oh, good.
I'm coming in to see you.
Oh, I'm so glad.
I'll have to let you see him for me because I'll probably be sleeping. I'm still running off the 3 hours of sleep I got the end of 6 o'clock this past morning.
This was a busy trans weekend.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And next year you will be more than happy to escort, I hope.
Yes.
So, and
then I'll be having more fun.
And next month you'll be here and you can fill us in on how your recovery is going.
Okay, that's great. Well, I love all of you very much. Thank you for calling in and having me be part of the show. I appreciate that.
All right. Thank you, Michael. And tell everyone we love him.
Okay.
All right.
We love
you
all. We love you all.
We love you. Thank you. Thank you, Melissa.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Good night. All right.
That was a great call.
And that was Michael.
And Amber.
So,
and Colt.
And Amber and Colt. That was a lot. They're towards the end. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Mitch, how far along are you in your transition?
I am in Transgender 101 right now.
Transgender 101. So, when he was talking about all of the stuff with the name change and the job change and all that stuff, have you experienced anything like that?
Not quite yet. I'm at the point where I have to, you know, separate, you know, my job, mm-hmm. you know, and I have to be female at my job, and I have to be the cute little 23-year-old, you know, at my job, because otherwise that's what they expect of me, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, outside I can, you know, be myself, and I can be Mitch, and I can do what I please, you know.
That is actually the hardest part of transitioning is when you have to do the sort of double life. Everybody I've talked to, that seems to be the point where they're the most stressful when, you know, they want to just be able to go ahead and be themselves, but because of they need to work, they need to make the money, they need to be, you know, this other person that, you know, everybody else expects. And I know that's probably pretty stressful for you.
Well, it is, but it isn't at the same time. Mm-hmm. I mean, personally, I'm a realist. I'm very firmly anchored in reality. I know that there's no way I could just go up to my boss and say, hey, I'm transgendered. I'm going to, you know, go through this process, you know, and change my name and everything. I know I couldn't do such a thing. And, you know, as long as, you know, I can be, you know, myself, I know who I am. You know, even if it, you know, doesn't quite match on the outside, or even if I have to, you know, be this other person at my job, I can still do that as long as I know who, you know, who I am and who I want to be. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yes, it is stressful to an extent, but, you know, I'm cool with it.
Well, that's a good way to handle it.
Well, I know that's never been an issue for me, because I was like, I'm going to be a girl. Have you had to do it? You've done that, Mel.
I've had to do that. Yeah, I transitioned a bit later in life than you did. So, yeah, I had that where I was, you know, I would go and, like, you know, it was kind of a pain because I would, you know, get all, you know, bushed up or manned up or whatever for work and then have to turn around and, you know, go and kind of, you know,
get cute.
Yeah, get cute, I guess. And now, you know, now that I transitioned and everything, I gave up on being cute.
Yeah, I just have to wonder what my supervisor is going to say about my hair come tomorrow.
Oh, you've cut it all off?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And I was told not to.
How long was it? I'm a hairdresser.
It wasn't that much longer than this, but I went from long hair, then it was, you know, down past my chin, then it went shorter, and now it's...
Well, without giving away where you work at, what type of job do you do?
Security.
Oh, okay.
So I wear a uniform.
Oh, yeah.
Really, the only difference between the man's uniform and the female's uniform is what kind of tie.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but it's still... I get flirted at work constantly. Drives me nuts. I mean, yes, it's flattering, but it's like I don't really want that kind of attention because it's a constant reminder of, oh, look at the pretty little girl.
Yeah, they get the whole women in uniform thing going on, which...
I used to wear a fake wedding ring. I was a waitress.
Really? Yeah. Funny thing, well, everybody there knows me because, you know, it's a residential job. It's not a business, so most of the people know me. And I remember the other day, one of the teenagers that live over there took a picture of me, and he's like, I see something in his hands. I was paying attention to the driver, not the passenger. And he says, I'm terrible. I'm like, I'm sorry? And he shows me he took a picture. Whatever.
Wow. If my girlfriend was here, she would probably say that can be considered illegal.
Stalking.
Well, we are at that time. We are going to be listening to one of our wonderful music selections. And we have for our first song selected that lovely genderqueer guy-gal... Boy George, and we're going to be listening to a song called Cheapness and Beauty, but we all know and love Boy George, and he's still around, actually, doing his thing.
Looking a bit different than he used to.
Yeah.
Still kind of off the wall.
He can't come into the United States, though.
Really? Why is that?
He got busted for drugs, so they won't let him in the country. He was going to do a concert for the sanitation workers in New York that he helped with, but they wouldn't let him come back.
So he should have just...
So that's the only way you can be drugged out and still cross the border.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to be president of the United States.
I figured, you know, he would just, you know, if he wanted to get in, he could just become a terrorist or something, and, you know, because they seem to have no problems getting in, but...
Well, this one's for you, George. This is... Cheapness and Beauty.
Yeah. sometimes.
All right, we are back, and that was Boy George. Jimmy came in, and he was lauding the underappreciated album that comes from, and
what's the album name on that?
Cheapness and Beauty.
That is the album name. Great. Yeah, I'm not too familiar. I've heard like some of the, the really really popular ones he's done, but
yeah, and we try to mix it up and have genderqueer music. Obviously, this is the transgendered segment. And so we've kind of changed the format a little bit. We were a little bit more structured. We're a little bit loosely structured now. We've kind went through a transformation of the show format.
Because basically we're getting closer to my format, where basically I come in with absolutely no clue on what agenda I'm going to have or what we're going to talk about or anything. And then, basically rely on Melissa to kind of salvage it and put it into something.
Go with the flow format. But it works. Yeah. And I'm a student. Mel's got a job. She's got a girlfriend. And my girlfriend.
I have a friend. Yeah, I am now taken.
Yes.
So no more offers to let everybody, all the lesbians come down and grab me. So one of them finally did. And, one thing as far as giving shout-outs, Mitch had to leave, had to take a friend of his home that wasn't feeling well. So,
yes, so thank you for stopping in, Mitch.
Yeah, Mitch, thanks a lot. We'll see you probably next month. I know, since we're doing shout-outs, I know Melissa would like to do a shout-out to her sweetie that's out there.
Yeah, I know that she's listening somewhere, and she told me to mention, and we'll talk about it later, transgender characters. I don't know if y'all have ever seen the Venture Brothers, but they have an actual transgendered stripper.
I know they have the character Dr. Girlfriend.
Dr. Girlfriend, which is one of her favorite characters. It's kind of mysteriously and insinuated that she used to be a man.
Yeah.
She talks like this. But she looks like a beauty pageant,
which I found out my Thomas is supposed to be coming to the anime convention. Onicon is going to dress up as Dr. Girlfriend.
Cuz
he's got the voice and everything down, so it should be hilarious.
Yeah, it's pretty hilarious. It's on Adult Swim and they have all of the episodes. We were watching the season finale and they had the stripper, the transsexual stripper.
Yeah, that's a very off-the-wall cartoon.
But, it's fun. And, I think it's sometimes being transgender, you just have to sit back and laugh and just kind of take it all and just try.
Well, anymore, there's been a lot of, transgendered sort of characters on, especially the anime cartoons and things like that I've seen lately. I know that the Ranma 1/2 was pretty famous for it. And what is that one? It's is it Bleach or some kind of name like that?
Yes.
The one that you were talking about? Yeah, and I'm not familiar with that one, but you were telling me there's transgender characters or something on that.
Not a Bleach.
What was the one then? You were telling me about one that had some sort of transgender characters or something, which...
My mind is blank. I'm drawing a blank, Mel.
I don't know. Most anime to me, it looks like half the characters could be transgendered because they could go sort of either way, but that's kind of the art style.
Well, we came across a website that had, they called it, what was it? Tricksters or traps. They called transgender characters traps because we look like women or men, but we're really not.
And we have a bear trap in our pants or something like that.
I don't know.
A flare gun or something.
It was supposed to be a tribute to all of the transgender characters, and it's kind of interesting. But also, they've had the transgender characters. Of course, Rebecca Ramon Stamos. she played a transgender character, or plays a transgender character on Ugly Betty, too.
Oh, I haven't seen... I've never seen Ugly Betty.
Yeah,
I've
never, she plays a transgender... She used to be a guy, a CEO of a major, company, and she has had a sex change, and
I may have to check that out. Well, it's like I know her mainly from playing Mystique from the X-Men movies. She had all the blue latex all over her body and everything. And
then they also have Candace Kane. I don't know what that show is called, but she is sleeping with the politician, and she's a transgender woman, and he's, like, married. But she's, like, an openly... open transgender actress, and she's on major primetime TV.
Yeah, see, I'm like the worst one, because it's like I really never pay attention to a lot of the major stuff. I mainly watch Mythbusters or something anymore if I'm watching TV at all. So I'm not really up on all that. You're more into all the media and all that stuff
the
than
news
I am.
And what's going on. Well, speaking of Mythbusters... we just came back from a pageant, and let me tell you, pageants are not rigged. As a judge, it was very fair, and it was really great. Miss Transgender Houston pageant, they had three categories, and it was presentation, performance, and evening gown. And the lovely Miss Jeanette Johnson, we've been trying to get her in here, and she's been so busy during her reign that she hasn't been able to make it, but she was giving up her crown, and Miss Amanda Roberts got the title.
Yeah, I spoke to Amanda, but she said that she'd like to have came in tonight and speak on the air, but she was actually having to be someone else's transportation home, and wasn't able to come in. But she said she'd be willing to come in some other time if. We'd like her to come in and talk about her experiences as a contestant. But as far as that goes, you know, we basically, most of my experience was being wait staff. So I was in the kitchen for half of it.
You were the behind the scenes.
I was behind the scenes. I was the reason that, you know, there was always like a rum and coke sitting in front of you.
Yes.
And not 15 dirty dishes and things like that. So, I can say, yeah, there's a lot of work that goes into these things. It's amazing the amount of stuff that goes on. You know, everybody else just sees the sushi and egg rolls sitting on the table, and they don't know there's like a crew of 10 people in the back that are, you know, back there like going crazy, rolling up sushi
and
just washing dishes as fast as you can pull them back into the kitchen and everything. And from the judge's standpoint, you know, you're there right up on the front with, you know, all the contestants just
in
your face.
Drinking rum and coke.
Yeah, drinking your rum and coke.
Scoring everybody. And
yeah, having to...
It's actually, I will tell you, judging is the hardest job because I've been in pageants. I've judged pageants. I've participated in promoting pageants. And judging is the hardest job because everybody, for the most part, is really... good.
Yeah. I could see, you know, one thing is the difficulty of, you know, like you watch a really fantastic performance and then followed by somebody else's, you know, really fantastic performance, and you really have to think hard and look over how to score that and which one was really better, because you can't have five winners. You have
to
have one.
And that's comparative scoring, but it's not comparative scoring. And you have to just kind of look at each individual. Typically isn't consistent. Usually you have a stronger category. I know that that's something that I always did. And the stronger the category and the way that you score, if you can at least be higher in some of the other categories and then score really, really high or win a category, then you can win. Like Amanda, she won evening gown. And there was a tie for talent with the other two people, one was in top three, and of course Jeanette, she's on the community advisory board, she's the the secretary, she did a fabulous belly dancing.
Yes, she'd been taking lessons for quite a while, and they really paid off. They were really good.
She's a great dancer.
Yeah, so I mean, that, you know, and I can see...
They tied for talent. And mm-hmm. then someone else won presentation. Who won presentation?
I think that was
the
Amanda.
Blonde girl.
Was it?
No, it was the blonde girl.
I was... I think outside or something at the time they were announcing that one, so I didn't get to see the whole final scorecard. What was her name?
Yeah, Jessica.
Jessica. Yeah, there's actually two Jessicas, wasn't there?
There was two Jessicas. Jessica Lynn. She was first runner up, and she just graduated from U of H, and she is
congratulations
working on becoming an
advocate. For that also.
And Amanda Roberts, she was the winner. Jeanette Lopez, I don't know what she plays. She wasn't in the top three, but she did an awesome, awesome job. And Jessica Chapman, she was one of the contestants. And Alexis, she was the first contestant, always the hardest job, but she set the pace for the girls, and she did a great job. And Leslie Ann, you know, she was just amazing. And both Leslie and Amanda, this was their second time competing, so.
Yeah, and I can say, you know, one thing that would, I think, you know, be also difficult, you know, is besides, like, having to, you know, decide amongst, you know, really good performances, like, you know, always, like, you see on these, like, Star Search kind of, you know, shows and everything, they show the auditions, you know, you always see them having to sit there and having to sit through an entire performance, and it's like, it would be the fear. It's like, I would get on there and, like, I would have to sit through that, something that was just entirely dreadful, and just not have the chance to, like, run out and, you know, have a smoke or go to the restroom or whatever, because you're sitting right there. But well, everything that this year seemed to be pretty competitive.
It was pretty much on an even keel across the board, and, you know...
Everybody had a strong suit and a weak suit, it seemed, that, you know, you had some that...
It was a very close pageant.
Yeah, some that I had seen, you know, they may have been weak in their presentation or the question and answer sessions. When they got into performance, they blew everything away, and, you know, back and forth like that, so...
Yeah, it's really tricky, and, you know, also when you have all the judges there... one judge may see something a little bit differently than another judge, and, you know, that's why you have all the judges there.
Yeah, because you may have one judge that's a, you know, maybe they say if it's singing, maybe that one judge is a professional singer, and the other person can't carry a tune in a bucket, and so they hear somebody singing, and the professional singer will listen, and they'll find all these little mistakes and critique and everything, and the other person goes, wow, they sing great, I could never sing like that, and give them real high marks. And for the exact same performance, you got two judges giving completely different results. So there's a lot of the, you know, the judging like that ends up being pretty subjective depending on the judges. So that's one of the reasons they, you know, they would have a panel of judges so you can get an average out, I would expect.
Well, it was a great event. It was the second year that I was involved. It's put on by Vanity's Transformation Studios. There's a lot of sponsors. White House Electrolysis, Finest Edition, Pins, you know, Chateau at Midtown. Of course, myself. They have awesome services, photography and video, with Valerie Marks. Papillon Spa and Day Spa. They actually won the Diamond of Hope Award. MyCateringCompany.com. They supported the event. And, of course, Vanity Studio. She is the mastermind. So when you think about that transgendered pageant, blame it on Vanity.
Exactly. Now, one thing notable of the sort of opening ceremony... the whole theme of this was called A Night in Asia. And they actually had some...
the Dragon Dancers?
Yeah. Well, did you catch the name of the performance company that put that on?
I think it was
Golden, Lee something.
Golden Dragon.
Lee Golden Dragon. Yeah, they had the whole, like, the Chinese dragon and the costumes and everything with the traditional, the drumming and all that. And it was a really fantastic performance they put on to open this up.
Yes, it was awesome. I'm so excited. And I love, like Michael was talking about, being a part of such a big transgender community. This is an annual event, so you can always go to www.vanitytransformations.com or Diamond Tea Girls and get information about any events that Vanity is putting on. And she's an awesome asset to the community. She's so positive, so uplifting, so inclusive to everyone. You know, some people getting clicks and think that they, you know, cause division in the community, but she's really good about bringing everyone together. Like, the judges panel had different people from all the different communities. They had cross-dresser communities. They had F2M Cult. He was on the radio earlier, was on the judges panel. We had an electrolysis lady on there. Of course, myself, I'm on the community advisory board. So, you know, it was really balanced.
Yeah, I got to see an old friend of mine, Peggy Rudd, who, when I met her years ago back in, like, the early 90s, she had just written a book called My Husband Wears My Clothes, which is it's a classic. It's basically the a wife's perspective of being married to a crossdresser. And after that, she came out with a whole series of books on the subject. And actually, her spouse was there also, and you know, sort of helping, I guess, co-judge. I don't know if they were an official judge or was just sitting there with them, but.
She was keeping us company. That was Miss Melanie Red. Yeah. She's awesome. She's the treasurer for the Unity Committee. We've got other stuff that's coming up, too. You didn't get a chance to go to the pageant, but we have an open house at the new TG Center here in Houston. It's a local TG Center at 713 Fargo. And that's Fargo, like the movie Fargo.
Long as they're not throwing anybody in the wood chipper, we're all okay.
Yeah, I don't think that they'll do that over there unless they get drunk and fall in, but hopefully that won't happen. That is going to be Saturday, the 30th. It's from 1 to 10. And actually, Phyllis Fry is going to be coming in at 3:30. She's going to be talking about the 25th anniversary of the repeal of the cross-dressing law. Phyllis worked to get the cross-dressing law repealed here in Houston.
Yeah, I remember that. They had, this is what, the 28th year or something? Or, what's the...
It's the 25th year.
25th year, because I remember I was actually here on the show back on the 20th anniversary. They actually had a... if I remember right, I went to a dinner with a group was hosting back then, and they actually presented, if I remember correctly, they presented some kind of plaque or something
to Phyllis,
like, you know, commemorating, you know, the anniversary of it or something. And then they had a show, you know, that it coincidentally was the TG segment after hour show, and I came over here and sat in. Because they actually did the regular or the slated guest speakers they had didn't show up, so they basically grabbed whoever was out in the lobby area and said, "Well, come on, we need guests for the radio." And so they were discussing that, and I think that was actually the episode where I coined the phrase for Jimmy, his big faggy voice, because that, you know, you just can't beat that one. That was the episode, Jimmy. Here he comes. And here's his big faggy voice.
And here's my big faggy voice.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that one because we, that was sort of the funny when we got on the tangent about just transition in general, mm-hmm. and you were we were talking about the hormones and how they change you and everything, and Jamie was like, yeah, and that, you know, change you and grow the breasts and everything, and it changes your voice, and I told him that no, it doesn't change your voice at all.
Right, I learned that.
Yeah, and you know, Jimmy proceeded to tell me I had such a wonderful voice, and I said, well, thanks a lot, Jimmy.
We can do that here. This is not special effects.
That hurts my throat now.
And you're welcome to come to Jimmy to the open house at the Transgender Center. It's open to everybody.
I was hoping you were going to talk about that because there's been very little or very minimal advertisement in the larger gay community.
Yes.
And in conjunction with the pageant you had tonight, I wanted to bitch about that because we don't know about it.
Well, and the thing is a lot of people don't talk about it. And, I mean, it's groups other than just transgender groups mm-hmm. are actually going to be coming to the center because it's a really nice, it's like a multi-million dollar home that has been converted into this community center. And it is really, really nice. There's like three stories. It's just amazing. They've got a lot of transgender history. Mm-hmm. They've got transgender archives.
That's on Crocker?
It's on Fargo.
Fargo.
713 Fargo.
I know the street. It runs parallel to Fairview, one block north.
Mm-hmm. And the website is tgcntr.org.
Wait a minute. Let's do that again.
It's tgcntr.org.
Okay. So that stands for Transgender
Center.
Center.
Yes.
C-N-T-R.
It's short for center.
Okay.
C-N-T-R.
Okay.
.org. And you can get all the information on there. They've got events that are going on. Mm-hmm. And like I said, the open house is this Saturday from 1 to 10, and it's pitch-in, it's casual, you can come in, and Phyllis Fry is going to be there. She's talking at 3:30 about the repeal of the cross-dresser law because it's 25th anniversary.
Yeah.
And
is it already the 25th?
Yeah, it's 25th anniversary.
Cause, it was just 5 years ago. That, 5 years ago we were talking about that.
And then if that's not your cup of tea, they've got the gender men, which ties into this. Mm-hmm. The Gendermen is a gender queer group, and I'm a part of that. I'm going to be performing. It's our second birthday party.
Gender M-Y-N?
Yes, it's M-Y-N.
Yes.
And it's drag kings and now drag queens.
Mm-hmm.
And basically they make fun of gender stereotypes, and, you know, we cross gender barriers, and it's a really great opportunity to converse and to really talk about gender and really push those buttons and say, you know, gender is not such a binary thing.
No. That's a point I've been trying to make for years to the gay community, is that because I think the gay and lesbian community are so afraid of the transgender word. And hell, we've been crossing gender lines for years.
Well, and I think it's important because I read an article, one of the guys was talking about, oh, why is it important that gender variation and gender expression, you know, what does it have to do with the gay community?
But are you kidding?
A lot of times, you know, the gay bashings happen to the effeminate guys or the really butch lesbians.
Yes.
And, you know, gender expression doesn't just consist of transgender people or cross-dressers. Mm-hmm. You know, it's if you're really feminine and somebody doesn't it, they beat your face in. I mean, I had a girlfriend that got beat up in Indiana, and she's a transgender woman, and she was just out, and she got jumped by these guys.
And you know, at the cross-gender lines, you don't even, I mean, you can be a butch man.
Yeah.
But maybe you like cross stitching,
or cooking, cooking lasagna.
Damn! I mean, if you go to the Ripcord and you can't talk about opera and cooking, you're not going to have anything to talk about.
It's funny you mention that. I used to be in a group that did sword fighting demonstration up at the Renaissance Fair, mm-hmm. and there was a like 6'5", ex-army recruiter, black belt in karate, guy that used to teach me sword fighting, and he used to do needlepoint.
See? Yes, exactly. Now, if that isn't crossing gender lines, I don't know what is.
Need to step in and let everyone know you're listening.
And as gay men and lesbians, we have always taken the stand that we don't have to act like everybody else. What?
Yeah, he's trying to break in to do the
top of the
FCC
hour.
Thing.
Oh, I'll show you.
Headphones are a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
You're listening to After Hour.
Take three.
KPFT Houston.
I just figured out why I was having problems with the mic gain earlier. My headphones have a broken wire in them, so.
Oh, gotta get the engineers complaining in about here. That. I thought she was.
Yeah, no, I well. All of a sudden my eardrums got blown out because like, Melissa was talking and all of a sudden it came in at full volume. And
oh.
Well, there if this is World of Warcraft, I could have my alternate character. Zap it!
Oh yeah, you're.
It's little things like that that remind you that this is community radio.
Yeah, community radio, mm-hmm. And the whole community's been in here bending this wire back and forth because it's probably fairly broken again.
So if you're listening out there,
yes,
send in some money and help support this radio station so we can get a new cord.
Didn't you do it last week?
Yeah,
what are we asking for it?
But back to what we were talking about,
yes,
gender variation.
It's gender variation and the fact that I think a lot of people in the gay community would like to attend more transgender events. They just don't know about them. And it's not just the transgender community. It's the black community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The white gay community doesn't know what the black gay community is doing because they're off there, and the Hispanic community, you know, it's the same thing. We don't get together on these things.
And that's one of the interesting things about Vanity's party. Vanity, you know, when you were mentioned the black community, the Hispanic community and stuff, Vanity is basically, you know, like half black and half Hispanic.
Yes.
And transgender.
And
so it's like it just transcends you know, all these barriers. And you see a lot at Vanity's parties, you'll see, you know, trans people, non-trans people, gay people, straight people, you know, and all different races and everything, because, you know, of the fact that, you know, they're sort of rooted in all these different communities. And speaking of advertising, I was flipping over the back of the program from the thing. And
program.
Yeah, and they have a advertisement for Vanity's next party, which is her Halloween party, which is always just raved about. And apparently the name for it this year is Gods and Monsters, and with a really spooky-looking picture here on the back. And that, she's having that on Saturday, October 25th, 9 p.m. till... she's got this... It says 9 p.m. till 2 p.m. I think it's supposed to be 2 a.m.
I hope so.
And, of course, like usual, it's probably going to coincide with our show, because it almost always comes on the fourth Friday.
Yeah.
And my monitor sound keeps popping in my headphones like up and down, so I think I'm just going to turn it completely off, because every now and then it just blows my eardrums out. But you know, they're having that at what is it called? The Chateau...
The Chateau.
At Midtown. Is that the actual name of the place? Yeah, over on...
It's over off Taft.
Yeah, 1220 Taft, which is where they had the...
Chateau at Midtown.
Yeah, it's between West Gray and Allen Parkway.
Okay.
It's across from this big gray building that has some sort of official use. I have no idea what it is.
Like it's a school, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like some sort of school or community college kind of building or something like that. And she has
really nice.
I've heard about that.
Yeah, it says the tickets are $15. They're actually on sale now at vanitytransformations.com.
Mm-hmm.
And so people can go on there and take a look at them and stuff.
And Vanity's place is in the 1500 block of Yale.
Yeah, it's actually 1442. Yale.
1442.
So if you're looking for costumes, if you want, you know, decide you want to be a drag queen for a night, or Whatever, I'm sure.
Whatever.
She does all kinds of things.
Oh, my God, yes. And she's been awesome. Quality stuff, too.
Yeah. You know, actually, Vanity, like, somehow, you know, orchestrated, you know, getting me in there to do a makeover on me. Believe it or not, she had...
Woohoo!
She gave me, like, the drag queen makeover or something. I mean, she had, like... duct tape on my forehead and all this kind of crazy stuff.
I'm trying to imagine you looking real femmy.
Yeah, I mean, she had me bring in my motorcycle leathers and everything, too. She just, you know, but she put, like, a wig on me all that, and she was like, you know, she's like, well, you didn't like it? I was like, well, they looked okay, but they just didn't look like me. But, yeah, it was interesting. It's like, yeah, she could probably, you know, get in there and, you know, cinch you all up, Jimmy, and everything. And she's probably got enough duct tape there to give you cleavage.
Share. We're going to do it. You say madam, I say share.
I think we could get Jimmy made up there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can come out to the Halloween party. We'll get Vanity to fix you up. Cher, Dolly Parton or something. You know, she sells those, you know, silicone falsies over there and everything. They probably got them in 55-gallon size.
So. Yeah, there's this thing Jimmy says. I told him we're going to get him to do Cher drag.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to dress him up like Cher for Halloween. And he says he looks like Madam.
I do.
Yeah. You just want to be like...
I did a turnabout show for charity last year, and I ended up looking like Madam.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You just want Waylon Flowers behind you with one arm up...
There you go.
...your shirt.
That's a little... Woo!
Yeah.
I'm a visual person.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah?
It's like, whoa.
We're not going to demonstrate.
Puppet Jimmy.
Puppet Jimmy. I'll remind you of the... I caught... Oh, this is sort of a tangent, but have you seen Margaret Cho's new comedy show?
No.
I caught part of that. It was kind of interesting. It's a semi, sort of a semi-reality show.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the, it's unscripted, but they have basically the sort of, you know, put them in situations or whatever, and they just kind of all the dialogue's ad-libbed.
Really?
But they'll do... some things, and she has sort of a crew around her that are like, you know, a couple, like, you know, she's got like a couple of gay, like a hairdresser and a stylist or something like that, and her personal assistant and her parents and all this other stuff, and somebody's coming in to give you a big hug there. Our resident MythBusters lookalike guy here.
Yeah, Michael's going away. Yeah. He won't be here for Roundtable.
For Mr. Tumnus.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
I got that a lot a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
See you later.
He does look like the Miss
Yeah, it's like, you know, he just needs to get like a bald guy with a beret to hang around with him, you know, and he'll be all set.
Oh. Hmm. I'm reading this. We were talking to Michael earlier. They have a guest book where you can log in, and it's called Carrying Bridges, and you can be updated to the person who's in the hospital's medical conditions, and it's a site where they can go, and you can blog about what you're going through in the hospital, and your friends can go on and leave well wishes on there, and you can get signed up for updates, and if there's any updates in the conditions, they get emailed to you.
I wouldn't do well with that. You know, if I'm in the hospital, nobody's going to reread my blog. I mean, it still hurts. I don't have enough drugs yet.
Hopefully it doesn't hurt. And
in that case, if they got me on enough drugs where it doesn't hurt, they really don't want to read my blog.
Ooh.
Oh, my gosh. What time is it?
It's after three.
Oh, my God. We've got upcoming events in the community.
We've
got the Day of Remembrance coming up. And I don't know if anyone knows. Just recently, there was a young lady that was killed. And I believe...
Where was this? Here in Houston?
No, it wasn't in Houston. It was kind of the Midwest. Her name was Angie Zapata.
Mm-hmm.
Do y'all remember it was in Colorado?
That name sounds familiar.
She was a young lady, and the alleged gentleman who killed her, Alan Ray Andrade, he beat her head in with a fire extinguisher. And
is that the one I recently heard? There was one I got an email alert or something on about that
yes,
they got off.
No.
Oh, is that a different one?
They're actually charging him with a hate crime.
Really? Oh, yeah.
They caught him. He stole her car. And when they caught him, he was doing the police interview, and he was referring to her as an it in the interview. And he said, pretty much, I have it before me, but he was saying that he thought that he had killed it, but it was moving, and so he ended up bashing its head in with the fire extinguisher and killing it. Kept referring to her as it, and the prosecutor said, you know, this is obviously a hate crime. We're going to charge him with a hate crime.
Good.
Yeah, I mean, to that sort of mentality where they totally dehumanize the person.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, it almost is like, you know, some of the mentality people get when they, you know, like are in wars and they, you know, it's like they dehumanize the other
Absolutely.
Person. And they come up, you know, they can't call them a enemy soldier or whatever. They have, you know, that's when they end up coming up with all the little nicknames and, you know, things like in the Vietnam is the Gooks and the Slants, all these
Absolutely.
Kind of, you know, nicknames they came up, you know, where they could put some label on them as,
so
you know, they're
like,
just a thing to destroy.
So it's like
and
killing
stuff.
A roach.
Well, yeah, and that's...
Than a human.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, I, you know, like, what'd you do with the roach? I stepped on it, mm-hmm. I burned it up, whatever, mm-hmm. and, yeah, things like that. And,
well,
yeah,
a lot of the victims, they get, like, slashed in the face, or they get like
some disfigurement.
Yeah, because it's like they're trying to erase the person. It's not just like, you know, oh, they wanted to kill this person. They're trying to erase that. And, you know, I think, that, you know, they said psychologically, it's kind of like, you know, that they're trying to get rid of what that person represents.
Mm-hmm.
And which is really, you know, when you talk about hate crimes and things like that, you know, you get that, you know, there's definitely some sort of passion there. You know, it's not just, you know, like a random, oh, let's go shoot somebody and it happens to be them. But, you know, it shows that there's, you know, some deep psychological issues there behind that.
And then, of course, they go for the transgender panic.
Yeah,
defense,
yeah, that thing like,
which
oh my,
much like the gay panic defense.
Yeah, the same sort
crap.
Of thing. It's like, you know, I think it really is like they kind of panicked because they realized that they had some kind of, you know, feelings or something there, and they don't want to deal with it. So,
right.
You know, it's kind of like, you know, when they talk about a lot of stalkers and things like that, is when you have, you know, a lot of times they'll be obsessed with a, you know, whatever it is, a movie star or whatever. And, you know, they want to, you know, date the person, or they feel like they're so in love with them and everything like that. And they can't, you know, of course they can't be with them. So, you know, it just, you know, pains them so much. The only way they can, you know, get rid of those feelings is to destroy what they're fixated on. And that's when you get the person that, you know, writes love letters to somebody for 6 months and then shows up their door trying to shoot them in the head.
Yeah.
And, I think that, you know, in some of these cases like this where you have these attacks where they're, you know, the mutilation and all that stuff, it's that same kind of feeling. It's like, I don't remember the exact statistics with the kids that came down from the Woodlands that attacked Paul Broussard. It's like, what was it, supposedly like a couple of them turned out to actually be gay themselves
yes.
and
yeah,
one
later
of them
on.
Was trans
yes.
or something like that. And, you know, it was like that sort of thing. It was like
they're trying to kill.
Know, they were trying to kill the thing in themselves that they,
yeah.
you know, they find someone who represents the part of themselves they can't deal with.
Yeah.
And they try to, you know, take it out and, you know, beat this external thing up, hoping that it'll cleanse whatever problem they have. And it's almost some sort of like a live action voodoo doll or something they're using.
Yeah.
And, you know, what happens is, you know, innocent people, you know, get beat up or killed or, you know,
And an interesting thing about this year, and this is something that we're working towards, not only do we have the first transgendered center in the country, but they're working towards, and the people who had the transgendered center that they bought, the transgendered center also bought a monument for transgendered victims of violence. And so they're working to try to find a place here in Houston to have the first transgendered memorial for murdered transgendered individuals.
Yeah. I thought I heard that they were actually moving this to the actual transgender center, that they were going to have that displayed like in the front yard or something. I don't know.
We are working right now to have it actually in the city of Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the first memorial of its kind. And so hopefully, with the Day of Remembrance, the reason I bring it up is because not only was this young lady killed, but we're working to have it to where it's a series of events. So if you can't go to one of the events, that you'll be able to go to one of the other events instead of just having the Day of Remembrance, which is just an annual event to remember the people who have been passed away. And that is one of the things that they're going to try to do, to have the dedication of the memorial.
So for the Transgender Day of Remembrance, is it going to be held now at the Transgender Center or still downtown?
No, it actually is not downtown.
Holocaust Museum.
The Holocaust Museum is where it's going to be. And it's instead of having it that Thursday, they're going to have it on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about having the actual dedication of the memorial. It's still in the initial planning stages, and we're trying to work with Sue Lovell and Anise Parker and Ellen Cohen to try to find property here in Houston to put the monument. And the reason it being is, we wouldn't have to pay for maintenance or, you know, it would be just a public monument. So,
yeah.
But it's really cool the way that the community is coming together and they are being supported with that. And, I mean, it's a beautiful monument. It looks kind of like a flame almost, and it's made out of granite. Mm-hmm. It's a really nice monument.
Wow.
So, just a side note.
Okay.
Yeah. I figured if they ever made a monument to you, it would be shaped like a flame, though, Jenny.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, I'm in rare form tonight. That's when you get me with 3 hours of sleep and no cigarettes. And
well, he's wearing the pink shirt, too.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Jimmy's, yeah, of course.
Real men wear pink.
Ta-da.
Real men wear pink. Yeah.
Okay.
And then, of course, you know, Melissa and I are wearing black and white. So,
yes, we're very sensible. Also, I wanted to remind everybody to come out. Possibly, I don't know if I had mentioned it, the Gendermen's second annual birthday bash. It's September 6th at Numbers Nightclub. And they have a website. It's www.gendermen.com. It's gendermyn.com, and you can get information. It's $10 at the door. The show starts at 10 o'clock, and the doors open at 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an awesome event to support.
Yes.
That, and they actually, they travel around, but they also do charities and local charities here in the community, and it's a great troupe. Like, I'm not saying that just because I'm performing. I only perform for charity events now. I don't do it for like money or anything like that, but they're just a great group of guys.
Felix
and
from Gendermen sent out an email several weeks ago, so we've been promoting this event,
playing it and promoting. Yeah, and you know, this is a great way for people in the gay community to support the transgender community.
Yes.
Right there.
Plus, you know, be amazed at the talent.
Oh, my God. They are so hilarious and so creative. I missed one of the shows because I got sick. But their last show that they had at Numbers, just watching the rehearsals, it was like, oh, my gosh. It's just so, it pushes the gender boundary lines like we were talking earlier. But it's just so funny. It's great. And to see them go from, like, Roy G. Biv, which,
yeah.
Red, I don't know if yellow. You know Roy.
Yeah.
Yeah. She plays a female character, but she also plays a guy character. And, I was at a show at the Purple Party, and she was doing a girl number, and then she changed into a guy number. And so he was there, and he had this beard, and he was a butch trucker and with a baseball cap and this beard on his face. I was like, oh my God, it's just, for someone who's been in the business and seen a lot of talent and seen all of these transformations, it's just amazing to me. And we have that talent right here in Houston.
I know.
It's great. So if you haven't been, treat yourself. Come out to the second annual birthday bash. It's just, it's amazing.
Good.
And Moi will be there. I don't know. Do we have our music?
Do we have a Chris?
I don't see a Chris.
I know.
We have a somebody.
Oh, I see Chris coming in there.
Oh, there's so we have Chris.
Chris is coming.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that... Would you get on the Stairmaster?
What?
Hello, dear.
How you doing?
Hey, watch this.
We're going to listen to some music.
Hold on. He's got put headphones on so I can hear
you. Oh, the headphones.
Hey, those look really nice.
It's the Princess Leia look.
Yeah. Yeah, I got that.
In silver.
In...
Well, he is aging.
HD silver. We're going to listen to some music. And this is going to be... the Kinsey Six.
Ah.
One of my favorite campy groups. Yeah. And actually, I talked to one of the gender men about doing some of their music.
Oh, it's great music to do.
Yeah. It's incredible. And they do all that burlesque, avant-garde kind of stuff. So this is the Kinsey Six.
I wish I knew how it would feel to be free. I wish I could break all these chains holding me. I wish I could say all the things I should say them loud, say them clear, for the whole world to hear. I wish I could share all the love in my heart, remove all the bars that still keep us apart. I wish you could know how it feels to be me. Then you see and agree. Everyone should be free. I wish I could give all I'm longing to give. I wish I could live all I'm longing to live. I wish I could do all the things I can do, though I'm way overdue. I'd be starting anew. I could be like a bird in the sky.
A bird.
How sweet it would be if I found I could fly.
to be free.
All right, that was the Kinsey Six. I wish I knew what it was like to be free. And they are awesome. What can I say?
I think you said it.
We are getting ready to wrap up this edition of Tea Talk with Eminem, and Eminem absent. Now it's M,
so is-
M to the power of two.
Yeah.
But
we're back to Mel Square.
Yeah, that's right. M squared. But we want to thank you all for listening. This is really awesome to be able to come and have people listen and share our experiences. And what are you doing?
Well, you're just like there, like ready to, you know, just like whatever.
I'm relaxing in the studio. It's really great to have you guys listen. And, you know, if you ever want to call in, other than a pledge drive, you know, if you have questions or comments, you can always call. It's 713-526-5738. And if you want to call in and give some money, you know, it's an awesome opportunity to be able to support community listener radio and community support radio.
And they can get, you know, donate money to the radio station.
It's very, very important to be able to.
Or if you want to just donate money to us personally, that's fine. I could use a new car and,
well,
plasma TV or something like that. You know.
High death. When does that happen?
I have no idea.
Isn't it?
It's in February of 2009.
February of 2009.
February 17th of 2009.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
My TV is just going to fall right out of the window at that point. It's going to be used to, like, keep a boat from drifting.
And we've covered a lot of information tonight. Those websites, if you're looking to get information about the TG Center, it's www.tgcntr.org. Or if you go to TransHouston.com, you can get information. I'm sure there's a link on there. Also, GenderMen.com. That's the website for the GenderMen, the drag performers that like to push gender stereotypes out the window and start the conversation.
So, are they going to perform here on the birthday bash?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
And I'm performing too. You got to come and see me.
Yay!
That's awesome. Numbers. I'm going to be doing one of the words that we probably can't say. Let me see here. No, it's not one of the words, but all I have to say is it's got a lot of pussycats in it. So, it's going to be a great number.
Is that the Lords of Acid song?
No.
That you're talking about?
But it's a really cat. I think her name is Connie, and it's the Pussycat song. And it's a pussycat mix, but I'm not going to tell you anymore. You have to come out and see it. It's awesome. I'm going to be doing kicks and splits and head spins and flaming batons. And
oh, yeah. Doing all that, are you?
Yes. It's going to be awesome.
Amazing.
And if you want to get information about any of the events that Vanity and her Transformation Studios puts on, that website is Vanity, V-A-N-I-T-Y, transformations.com. She's got a fabulous, her Halloween parties are just infamous. They are awesome. They're usually, from what I know, legendary. So get your ticket.
Legendary or infamous, one of the two.
Legendary and infamous. You know, come on out, have a good time. You know, it's safe, it's cool. Support the community and maybe even
be detained by the police.
Buy a ticket and give it to someone. They usually have a cash bar and, you know, everybody's party's down. So we are going to sign out for the evening. Once again, we want to thank you. Thank Michael for sharing his story about his information. Thank Mitch for stopping by. And we want you to have a wonderful evening.
And I'm going to thank Tabitha for being there when I get home.
Yes. Thank you, Tabitha, for hooking up with Mel and putting that smile on her face. It's great. We are going to take you out. We have our usual, Atomic with Blondie.
Table?
Yeah, we're on air. Yeah.
Something like that.
Hi, Virgin.
Hey, hola, ¿cómo estás?
How you doing?
How's your mom and Neil?
Anyways, all right, so what do we got on the wire tonight, Chris?
Unfortunately, Tola Road didn't have their rear view mirror going today because he's heading off to Denver for the DNC.
Who is?
He's having a DNC?
Yeah.
Who is? Who's off to Denver?
Not that kind of DNC. Oh.
Tola Road is one of the sources we use for a lot of our news stories. The interesting thing is that Tola Road has had a little bit of a problem. A
technical
stick-up-their-ass Catholic group is trying to get their credentials pulled from appearing at the Democratic National Convention, along with some other web other blog called I think PhD Bitch. So they've been
having a good one. I love that.
That's subtle.
Something along those lines. So they've been trying to. They've been having to fight that. They're, I guess nowadays because of how loosely you can use the term journalism. They're giving out credentials to blogs, and Tola Road is one of those who will be reporting from there. Also, there'll be all this next week there. The primetime schedule here in KPFT is out the window, and they'll be reporting from Denver as well,
cool.
Part of the Pacifica Foundation.
Interesting.
So there won't be any queer voices this week.
Oh.
Or the following week, because that's when the Republicans are...
The other guys.
Yeah.
The other white meat is going to be performing up in Minnesota, eh?
Are they going to be... is it going to be from the bathroom at that airport in Minnesota?
Or at least in the airport?
No. Who knows where they'll be.
The men's room of the Denver Airport.
No. two little quick stories involving Harry Potter stars and potential nudity.
Woo-hoo! Yay!
If you go to Vogue.com, they have a feature story on Dan Radcliffe's Broadway debut in Equus. And right. Annie Leibovitz takes a lovely picture of him bareback on a horse.
Hmm.
One of the stories that they have leading into that is, well, at least she's finally taking pictures of people over the age. This is the same artist who took those racy pictures of Miley Cyrus.
Oh, please. She was taking pictures of people over the age before most of the people who were biatching about it were old enough to know what those pictures meant.
So it's a cute little picture. You've got Daniel Radcliffe laying down on top of the horse. Too much sun there, so you really can't see his arse. And
I'm sure the horse is happy.
Yeah, it changed. You know, last week I wanted to be a pommel horse. Now I wanted to be a horse.
As long as you're getting ridden, huh?
Whoever the other guy is, it's in there. I mean, the funny part about this picture is his co-star in Equus, who is also in Harry Potter, is standing on the side there smoking a cigarette. Like, am I next? He's just like, you know.
The horse is like, no, you're not next.
It's like, no.
But, and also with that, Rupert Grint, the redhead.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. We all love a redhead, though.
Best known for playing Ron Weasley in the Harry Potter films, is going to have a sex scene with a Kimberly Nixon.
In a film called, of all things, Cherry Bomb.
Woohoo!
So, oh, it is supposedly a hot sex scene.
Well,
it depends on your definition of hot.
Well,
it's with a girl, so it's not really going to be all bad.
Yeah. She does look a little bit older than him.
You kind of like redheads, though.
Quite a bit older than him.
Hold on. I didn't look at this before, but let's...
Jimmy turns around.
I haven't found any pictures. It's just the actress, now that I see a picture of her, she appears to be...
Manly-ish?
40.
Oh, 40? My goodness.
40?
Mrs. Robinson, you're trying to seduce me.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Here's to you, Mrs. Robinson.
Hey, hey.
Cuckoo, ca-choo,
yeah,
right?
We got it going up here.
Where?
Oh. Two tabs.
Come on, IMDb. Here we go.
Good tonight.
I am dead body?
No.
Internet movie database.
Oh. Yeah. You speak geek here.
You know...
She looks younger in that picture, at least.
You're getting a little morbid in your old age, Jimmy.
85, wow. 85.
So really?
She's 23?
She's had a rough life.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Oh, that explains. She had six brothers, and she's the only girl. No wonder.
That explains a lot right there.
Yeah, so that's coming out next year.
Oh, okay.
In the UK.
Cherry Bomb follows teenagers Luke Malachi and Michelle as they embark on a wild weekend of drink.
Oh, well, drinking. Hey, there you go.
I saw some blurb about Mr. Potter suffering from some sort of medical condition.
Yeah.
Some
I forget
what that
was. I missed what the condition was. I didn't see that.
I did see the trailer for the new Harry Potter, though.
Oh, yeah.
I have too.
Yeah, no, it seems really good.
Yeah.
I forget what meant, what it's a...
Is it something neurological or something? Like
yeah, that? And that's why I got into acting, was to try and focus.
Focus, yeah.
So.
The, I think this is the first. I mean, other people have died during the course of this series of movies. You know, the original Dumbledore. You know, Richard Harris and all that. One of the kids who doesn't necessarily have a lot to do in the movie, in the new movie, the one that's coming out, was murdered.
Oh my God!
Stabbed in a bar fight.
That was several months ago. I think he was one of the kids that was supposed to be playing in Hufflepuff or one of the houses.
And it's just sort of like
one of the houses that doesn't
gruesome,
have a whole lot of
people. You know?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
It's gruesome on a bunch of levels. I mean, to start that, it's a, you know, up until now, all of the whiny people. Except for the whiny people who go on about teaching their kids witchcraft and all this nonsense, this entire run has been about fun. It's been, you know, a good ride for most of these actors and people who have been in this. You know, the books were a hit. The movies have, for the most part, been hits.
Hell, I got kids to put down their Wii's and pick up a book.
Yeah, exactly.
And now there's apparently some controversy at the Houston Public Library.
Yeah,
because they have a Wii in the library.
Yeah, somebody got bent out about that.
And I'm like, well, let's see. You talk to the librarian, and she says that the children's books the circulation has gone up on children's books since they installed the Wii. So
apparently, they're not just being absorbed by the Wii. They're actually there's an increase of the readership. You know. Kids are actually still reading their books. Kind of hoping that lasts, because, you know, if you wait for a series to become as hot as the Harry Potter stuff has been, you could be waiting a long time between, you know. I mean,
what's next, Chris?
Well, we were talking something a little bit with Olympics and all that. Congratulations to the gay, one of the 10 gay Olympians the only gay male out Olympian.
Yes.
Let me stress that, out gay Olympian.
Out gay Olympian.
Won gold.
Yay!
Australian Matthew
Mitchum.
Matthew Mitchum won his first gold medal. He's the only openly gay male athlete competing in Beijing.
I saw him.
Yay. There are 9 lesbians and 1 bisexual woman competing alongside him. He snatched the gold from China after earning 4 perfect 10s on his last dive, which allowed him to overcome a 32.5.
I think they should snatch a few more from China that China has already won.
Well, there's actually talk of them stripping them of the
medals,
the ones in gymnastics, because they lied about the age of the one that won gold.
They're still trying to figure that out.
They're still debating on that.
They're still debating that. I mean, there's a lot of, you know.
Anybody else waiting for Michael Phelps to pop out of the closet? Anybody?
I am.
Well, considering the fact, you know, they tried saying that he was dating Amanda Beard, and she goes, Amanda goes, ew.
She's just afraid because, you know, he has big hands and big feet, big nose, big ears.
As far as the out thing about the divers and stuff, I watched a lot of the men's diving.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to know, are there any straight boys amongst that group?
Because I want to know how they keep the damn bathing suit on.
I know.
Because some of them just barely. I mean, they're like, especially
Phelps.
Yeah.
There's a reason he wears that speed suit, honey.
And the diver's suits are cut differently.
And
when they come back up from their dive, there's a little more butt showing than there was before they went in.
Every time.
And that's a problem. Why?
It's not. I said I made no reference to there being a problem with this.
The only problem you run into is the fact that the age limit for diving is 14, and there is a 14-year-old who is the European champion.
Yeah.
He actually came in seventh.
Who didn't do so well.
Who didn't do so good. Okay.
The two Americans, Badia and Fincham, came in 10th and 12th, respectively.
There's another couple I'd have questions about.
Me too.
I was talking to a friend of mine about the events that they don't show, because nobody...
handball?
They're not big enough for anybody to care about, but they played ping pong because, after all, it is China. They showed the ping pong because it is China. Or
table tennis.
Excuse me.
Now, what they've done with this is they're trying to be more... If you have cable and you get the 300 channels that NBC put out for all this stuff, you had a better chance of seeing all the
other
unusual sports.
I know I caught myself watching USA at night and catching like field hockey and handball.
I think if they went back to the original thing...
I know, right? I'm thinking the same thing.
Handballing is an Olympic sport?
More people would watch the archery if they did it naked.
Handball is... okay.
You are not right, Jimmy.
I was thinking the same thing.
We love you. You're not right.
Okay, handball is basically water polo played on land.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, how disappointing.
That's...
Oh, that's very...
And fully clothed instead of just the...
There's just a handful of games that I find completely and utterly useless.
Like
the water polo thing, for one.
Hey, water polo... Don't knock water polo, honey. Man in tight Speedos. Come on.
The underwater cameras for water polo.
Mm. Well, yeah, there is
nothing
that.
Better.
Yeah, there is that.
Tell me about it, honey.
There's that game that's essentially like playing shuffleboard with a curling.
Oh, in the Winter Olympics.
I'm sorry, I've watched that. And I'm sorry for any world champion curlers out there, but that game is incredibly
boring,
utterly boring, and stupid.
It's one of the national sports of Canada.
I don't care.
That was hockey.
No, they do better.
These are people who are good on are good on skates. Stay in the dang skating events.
They actually had BMX this year, which was really interesting.
I don't get the point of curling. Cool. Stupid.
U.S. won gold, I think.
The interesting thing is, they brought in BMX, and this will be possibly the last year for baseball and softball.
Yeah,
that wouldn't be a bad thing.
American women have dominated in softball.
I'd love for the Olympics to go back to being an amateur contest. I really would. The redeem team. Whatever.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
I didn't watch as much of the Olympics. I had all the extra stations they had with that, and it was just, some of the stuff, it got to the point where it was still the same old with the, let's hear the human interest story. Like when, Fincham and Bodei were diving, the two American divers in 10-meter platform, they kept going back to how they were put together 8 years ago as the diving coach put them together as a team. And they're synchronized divers.
Uh-huh.
And then, they competed together, and then later on they come up and compete against each other.
Right.
The
table tennis thing had two Chinese.
Well, what was interesting is that one of the players from the U.S. actually played for China in 1984. Married an American, came back stateside with a boyfriend, and now she's playing for the U.S. team.
Basically, if they were wearing a Speedo, Lycra tights, bodysuits, or shorts, I was probably watching it.
Yeah.
Well, they were talking about...
And if they were gay and we knew about it, yeah, I was there.
I mean, they were talking about wanting to get sexier uniforms for the table tennis players.
Why? Have you seen some of the table tennis players?
Hello? Have you seen some of the table... Is it my imagination, or has the table gotten smaller over the last 30 years?
I think it's just bigger people.
Not in that last match. They were both Chinese.
But, you know, that and then there was also the talk about in the beach volleyball, mm-hmm. the fact the men were wearing more clothing than the women.
Right. Was there some, like, lesbian person amongst the volleyball, like, doubles thing? Because I don't know what I caught, but I caught them making some... And I missed the first half of what they said as I was going
there
through.
There were some lesbian couples that worked together.
There was a woman, and they made some... And I caught them making a reference to the fact that one of the women had a hyphenated name. which usually only happens when you're...
Maybe she's married.
No, I don't think it had to do with the fact that she was British. Because I don't think she was British.
Oh.
I don't think it was a British thing. I think she was...
Well, in the meantime, we had a caller call in. Mentioning that handball is... And I knew this. I had forgotten. It's... this is a court game.
Yes.
Where you hit the ball against a backdrop.
Mm-hmm. No.
This was actually played on the field.
Okay, that's a different form of handball, which is like racquetball, but instead of using...
That's what he said.
That's not the Olympic sport.
Oh.
The Olympic sport handball is basically water polo played on an indoor soccer field.
So how's that different than volleyball?
Because you're scoring into a goal. Instead of kicking it over a net or throwing it over a net, you run down a soccer field, basically an indoor soccer field, and you have to throw the ball into a soccer goal, to a small soccer goal.
It's actually pretty rough. It's like ice hockey on a field, really.
Okay, let's see. The out.
How big is the ball?
Big enough for you to palm.
So you're running down the field like you're holding a baseball?
It's bigger than a baseball.
Oh, it is somewhere.
No, basically kid-sized soccer ball, size three.
Like throw it to your partner.
Yeah, you have to throw it, pass it, bounce it.
So what you were about to...
The out lesbians were Judith Arndt, Germany for cycling, Imke Duplitzer, Germany fencing. I sense a theme. Gru Hammarskjöld and Hatke Nyberg, Norway, handball and a lesbian couple. Natasha Kai, USA, soccer. Lori Lappin, lesbian known with the last name of Lappin.
Stop.
USA softball. Victoria Vicken Svensson, Sweden, with soccer. Renee Stubbs, Australia, tennis.
Stubbs.
And Linda Resnick, Germany, soccer. So, and one of the things that we're mentioning on here...
it's nice to know the Olympics aren't so hung up on the subject.
Yeah. But NBC never mentioned the fact that he was gay.
Of course not.
Matthew Mitchum.
I suppose it's not really an important detail when,
all that matters is that he looks good in his Speedo, but, you know,
as long as he can get the balls where they need to be, then it's all good.
You mean if you're out?
Then I guess Jimmy needs to apply for the Olympic stuff.
So, we're coming up here at the end of the show.
Are we? Pretty dang near.
One thing I wanted to mention, I found out while I was in Dallas.
Yes.
Kind of surprised me. Is Dallas has a 24/7 gay radio network. And after a little research today, I found out San Antonio has one as well.
What? Radio station?
A whole radio station, amongst others. It's a national radio station.
Oh.
Now,
national?
It's like,
national.
When are they coming here?
Well, there doesn't seem to be one here. What it is I was... when we were doing our little bar crawl thing, we were listening to the Mix station up there, part of Clear Channel.
Yeah.
And what it is, it's not a normal terrestrial radio.
I beg your pardon.
There's two types of radio now. There's terrestrial and satellite.
Yes, it's satellite radio?
No, it's terrestrial, but it's the high definition. Remember how when I do the station IDs, I talk about high definition?
Yeah.
So if you go to channel 2, if you have a digital radio and you go to KPFT 90.1 station 2, you hear different programming.
Mm.
Well, the mix station in Dallas, their high definition channel number 2 is a national queer radio program station.
Oh.
All queer program.
Is it like real queer program?
I haven't got didn't get a chance to listen to it. Oh. I've tried accessing it earlier today, and the feed wasn't working that great. Oh. But then I scrolled through and saw it's in a lot of different cities, and two of them here in Texas.
But not here.
Not here in Houston.
Of course.
A lot.
But that was an interesting thing to be listening in the car, them talking about. I'm sitting there going, did I just hear what I heard?
Yeah.
And I had to go, yeah, with it, we have a gay radio network that's played there.
So what the? Oh, wow. Yeah.
So it was an interesting thing to hear.
I was actually having a conversation.
I wonder who sponsors that. About
you. It's a Clear Channel station.
Hmm.
Of course it is.
What isn't? Go ahead and clear everything. We're done with.
All right.
I think we're, cause like I said, we're coming to the end of
the show.
The
end of another show.
And Zydeco Pasale is here, ready to go. Mary is in the lobby as we speak, or behind Chris.
Ha!
I didn't see her walk in.
What are you flipping off over there?
Nothing.
So, you've been listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galves, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. Now broadcasting in that fabulous high-definition radio.
Whee!
Woo-hoo. And if you're listening to that, you'd be getting something like the BBC.
Yeah.
Right now, I think.
Yeah.
Once again, stay tuned for that. Time for the PSAs.
We'll see you next
Jimmy time. Will like this one. The title of this one's called Pink.
Ooh.
Tour de Pink is back. On Sunday, September 7, Pink Ribbons Project will host its fourth annual fundraising bicycle ride, Tour de Pink 2008. Cyclists will raise money for Pink Ribbons Project in motion against breast cancer. Contributions and pledges will fund awareness and education programs, mammograms for underserved women, and other outreach programs. Last year, over 1,000 riders registered and rode. This year, it's another family-friendly event with routes from 12 to 100 miles. It starts and ends on the Prairie View A&M University campus near Hempstead. So grab your bikes and join us on Sunday, September 7 at 7 a.m. on the start line. And plan to stay for the post-ride festival. To register or volunteer, visit tourdepink.org on the web. Or call 713-524-7465. See you there. KPFT, Houston.
Did you know that Texas has the nation's highest rate of women without health insurance? And that's not all. African American and Latina women also have the highest death rates from cervical cancer. And half of all Texas women giving birth must rely on Medicaid to cover their child's birth. We need to raise our voices and tell Texas lawmakers what our community needs to keep women and families healthy. The Healthy Women, Healthy Families Coalition is collecting healthcare stories from women across Texas. Call 512-462-1661 to learn more, or visit healthywomenhealthyfamilies.org to take the survey today. Again, that's 512-462-1661 to learn more, or visit healthywomenhealthyfamilies.org to take the survey today. KPFT, Houston.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to. but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.